And welcome to Indian Chat for Saturday, September 10th, 2011, the Chubb Lane episode. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Matt.
And I'm RJ.
Dennis not with us on this one. Hopefully he'll be here the next time we do one. We've got a lot to talk about in this episode, so expect
what
a long
happens
one.
When you go away for a month.
Yeah, really. And a game gets released, and a really good game gets released. We got tweets to go into X-Men Destiny, also EA and how they're handling Battlefield 3. The October-November releases and what we're going to be playing, that sort of thing. We go into all of that and where the hell Old Republic's going to wind up. I say that thinking that by the time before this episode gets posted, we'll have known. They'll release the date.
I just want to take a thing here because I didn't mean to mention that, but whatever. The last time we did a show, it was like, EA's never going to show proper multiplayer footage of Battlefield, and then they did it. That happens to us all the time.
Right.
So I want to go ahead and declare that apparently EA's just never going to announce a release date for the Old Republic.
Okay. Okay.
Cool.
And so hopefully by Tuesday.
Are we also never going to get a MechWarrior?
Yeah, right.
Check out Hawken.
You just want that too much. That does the new footage.
Yo, that looked nice.
Looks really good. Hey,
we've already done a show.
Sounds like a show.
Lollipop Chainsaw gets discussed. Mech War Gear gets discussed.
Mech War Gear?
Mech War Gear. Pay-to-play multiplayer in COD. On Live Impressions, which we're about to take a look at. GameStop's handling of the Deus Ex content. The On Live stuff there. Easter eggs in games. Deus Ex gets a lot of talk, and it is pretty much spoiler-free. Talk because Jeremy and I have not finished the game yet, whereas Matt and James have.
And I didn't spoil shit.
Pretty much open conversation through.
Yeah,
the
I was gonna
second
say it depends on what your value for spoiler free is.
True.
Though, so
right. As long as you've this is for people who have finished up to the second hub.
Yeah. HD remix that we want in games, Easter eggs that are in games, also. Falcon 4 gets a mention. A little bit of 9/11 talk in there as well. We also go into emails with the Deus Ex mods and how you can play the original. Metal Gear Collection gets discussed. And Star Wars versus Guild Wars gets brought up as well. So lots of stuff in there. Your emails, your tweets. If you want to be a part of it, you can. Send us an email, everyone at ingamechat.net.
Do it.
Yes, please. You can also send us tweets at ingamechat. You can join us in the live chat room when we do these shows as well. You can find all of that information at colonyofgamers.com and our little subsection forums there. You can find out how to join us live. You can find out how to contact us through Xbox Live, PSN, Steam. We're all over the place. Send us friend invites, send us questions on how to get in touch with us and play games with us. And yeah, there you go. Enjoy the episode. Our last show was a fucking long time ago.
Month ago.
So yeah, we'll go through these. We'll just start on it. Gersnort, is X-Men Destiny supposed to look like a GameCube game, or is there some kind of charm that I'm overlooking?
Is it supposed to be stick dudes?
Yeah, I saw some video of it.
A Matt shakes his head at me when he clearly doesn't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
No,
yeah, I don't know.
It's like, God, you're so stupid.
I have no idea.
Blam this piece of crap! There we go. What are we, 8 seconds into the show and already I have to look up a video for you?
I thought that was Matt's job. Show everybody
video. Matt's job is to upload the video 8 seconds into the show.
Nabokov says, I'm done. No Battlefield 3 for me. Retail to require Origin and EA's terrible support password bonanza.
Okay, the second bit is okay, dude. I can't.
He says, no, this isn't a Steam does it, but that's okay thing. I literally cannot trust EA at allowing me to actually be able to log on.
I think you can trust them, but, whatever. They've fucked a couple things up already. Mm-hmm. I said it the last show, and it's probably not even made its way, out into the world or anything. But they've got a long way to go integrating everything into Origin. Here's the thing. I don't know that I'm getting Battlefield either. Really? Actually, yep. Really.
That's actually a little interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with Origin. I could give two shits. I don't care. And it looks brilliant.
And what does it more have to do with?
All right, look. Battlefield 3 comes out when?
October
15th.
When? No.
Is it?
No.
25th.
No, 25th, yeah. Thank
October 25th. Okay. Setting aside the things that have already come out, what does the rest of October look like?
Arkham Asylum?
Arkham Asylum on the 18th. Arkham. Arkham on the 18th, 1 week before. That's, from busting my ass, that's a 1 week game. Okay? What comes out 1 week after?
Uncharted 3.
Uncharted. That's right. I know. See, point to Scott because Uncharted, right? I don't.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Yeah.
I mean, for
what
me,
comes out? What else? What else comes out in October that I actually care about? I know.
October.
Forza.
Forza. That's right.
I give a big shit about Forza, but you've got
Ace Combat.
Ace Combat. The 11th of November.
Well, yeah.
Skyrim.
All right. So putting aside that's one problem. There's enough shit, and I'm not saying I have any trouble with Battlefield, but there's enough shit coming out just before and just after that unless I'm busting my ass and just playing shit all the time...
You won't be able to sink your teeth into it.
This is to say nothing of Assassin's Creed, which will be out just after that. Putting that aside, all of that... And, God for fucking bid, we actually get a November release date for Old Republic.
Yeah.
I mean... Battlefield 3 can go to hell, quite frankly. So putting all that aside, take all that shit and just take it away. Just take every bit of it away. Maybe say there's one other game coming out.
RJ's got Dark Souls next month, too.
Oh, that's something else I'd actually like to play.
Yeah, and probably you, I was going to say.
Don't care about the single player of Battlefield 3. I only care about the multiplayer.
Yeah.
And in my mind, in my head, it's the same thing that we've always done before. If we really hard charge from here to the release date, and let ourselves get super excited about it, everybody will buy it. You'll find a way to buy it. You'll buy it. You would buy it if we hyped you enough. I would buy it. Kevin would buy it. I thought Nab was going to buy it. A bunch of guys in the community will buy it. And you know what will happen? Mm-hmm. I will never play with anyone.
Yeah.
Because some people will play in the morning. Some people live on the West Coast. You have a kid. You have other shit you want to play. You don't fucking listen to anybody and you get us all killed. Like, and just on and on. There's all these different reasons why the end result is always that I want to play right now and I'm going to go kill some dudes. Let's go kill some dudes. Nobody's online. Okay, I guess I'm going to go kill dudes by myself. God, I hate these random fucking idiots. I quit. I'm going to go play some different shit. And that's how it'll be. It's the same as it's always been. And I know it. I know it for a fucking fact. I'm sure I'll be able to find a few matches here and there with other people, but I know that no matter how good the game is, lie, if you want to go ahead and skip to a dissection of the very awesome fucking trailer they showed about 12 minutes after we wrapped our last show saying where the fuck is all the awesome multiplayer footage that they haven't shown us.
Yeah.
The real lie in that isn't the graphics, it isn't the number of people, it isn't how smoothly it runs. It's that anyone will ever do anything with teamwork forefront in their mind. None of the behavior you see in those multiplayer videos is the behavior of real people. At least not real people in a public game, which is what I wind up in most of the time.
Yeah.
So, I realized pretty quickly after thinking about how dense October and November are going to be that why do I need to spend $60 on that? So I don't think I'm going to get it. I think I'll wait. I see no reason not to pick it up
later.
January, February maybe. You know? Maybe it'll go on sale. Probably not. But
after you've had a chance, you know, you beat Arkham City. You've, you know, gotten pretty far in Skyrim. You've, you know, race a little bit before, you know, you've done the other things that you could do without having to be dependent on other people.
And I'm, and even some of those things I might not do. Some of those things that I, whatever, you know. I mean, am I only going to play Skyrim when it comes out? No, fucking, dude, it's Skyrim. That's as much that's as much an investment in the future as anything. Knowing how long it took to get through Oblivion.
Yeah.
And how many mods the community was able to deliver over the course of however long. So, I'm actually pretty convinced that since the only reason I would be caring for Battlefield would be multiplayer, that it's not something I should be interested in right now. So,
wait that. Till you know, people have gotten a little bit of time on their hands where they can play together.
Yeah. That's a benefit of waiting. Some stability, a couple of patches is probably another benefit of waiting. That's not why I'm doing it, though. I'm doing it just because as much as I want to love it and as much as I want to see myself enjoying, you know, playing it on launch day, no. It's too much else going on. I don't need to spend that money. There's other money to be spent. And I have I'm very excited about Old Republic, actually. The more I pay attention to it, the more I look and read and listen and all of these things, the more I actually like it. And I mean,
and that's just a wild card out there waiting to fuck up your plan of whatever you've got as far as like, gonna play this, then I'm gonna hit this, yeah. And then oh fuck.
Yeah, it is it is a little bit of one. Now I don't wanna do Battlefield 3 the disservice of not mentioning that boner inducing trailer that they released right after our last show.
Yeah.
That was like, very nice.
That was very, very cool. And I love to see the effect on the community of something like that.
Gersnort says, I don't know whether my intellect should be offended or if I should just be indifferent to Suda51's Lollipop Chainsaw.
What is that?
It's a Japanese, very Japanese-like.
Oh, it would have to be.
Yeah.
It's a blonde cheerleader with a chainsaw hacking up shit.
Yeah. Really? Zombies. Undead.
Okay.
These two are the ones that know about it.
That makes sense.
I mean, yeah. No, that's cool.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I looked at Jeremy, but I should have looked at RJ, honestly.
Well I saw regardless
RJ's
of the
first guy I thought of.
Regardless of, like, what you may think about it, I have no idea. It's certainly the kind of thing that I would expect to travel along, like, the same information channels that you spend more time plugged into.
Mm-hmm.
The games you like are, well, and I'm more Japanese. I know you don't like a lot of very Japanese-y things, but you do like a lot of very Japanese-y things. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You run hot and cold on a lot of their designs,
mm-hmm.
and like it or not, you'd be more likely to hear about that than I would.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it? Like, lollipop, what, nunchuck, chainsaw?
Lollipop, chainsaw. Nunchuck?
Yeah. Yeah. Is not going to show up, is not going to show up on RPS. So, I would not hear about it.
But something that did, that Gersnort also talks about, he says, God damn it, EA, and he references the EUA, whatever, the...
EULA?
Yes.
What is wrong with you?
The EULA.
EULA.
The EULA?
The EULA.
End user license agreement.
Now he said that a minute ago.
Yeah, it's been a while.
But again, not the big deal. It's not English. It's
legalese.
It's legalese. It's not English. Anytime you try to interpret legalese by using English rules, you get upset and probably scared. But it's not English. I'm not worried about it.
Kyrie says, if I send you my spoiler thoughts on Deus Ex Human Revolution now, will you have lost the email by the time you do a spoiler talk on it?
No, but it will still be... I'm, you know, whatever. Like, I'm not going to not talk about it. So, I guess I'll talk to you about it, see what you have to say. And then we can get back to it when you guys finish next time. Get up and go leave the room. He said he was going to go play it while we were talking about it.
Yeah, and go play it while you guys talk about it. Doogie2K says, I don't know if James has seen this yet. More from Gabe that shows why Valve gets it and everyone doesn't. Why Portal publishers don't fear piracy was the article.
What was the... I hadn't seen it.
Yeah, I hadn't seen the article either, so... And it'll take me forever to look this over. OK. come back to it later. Nabokov, great, just what Counter-Strike needed. Radial menu, shit graphics, and no custom mods. Add it to the list of things to boycott until Half-Life 3.
At this rate, does anybody honestly expect Half-Life 3 to be something that they won't have to boycott? If you simply look at the reasons why everybody boycotts shit, why would you ever think that Half-Life 3 is going to be something that's unsullied by what's happened to the industry in the last 5 years? It's not. It's going to absolutely be that. I mean, to whatever degree you consider it a violation, Counter-Strike Go is fucking full of fail, you know? Even Portal 2 at a cash shop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stunned, dude.
Who really bought... I mean, I don't know anyone that bought anything in the...
Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
It's enough to boycott it, apparently. Because it's the behavior and the intent and the you know, I mean, I don't think that. I'm being ridiculous.
Yeah.
There are people who didn't like that. A lot.
I just didn't care. I mean, I didn't pay any attention to it. I looked
at it
and I saw what you could do, and I'm like, okay, yeah, some of those skins are cool. I'm not going to buy it. All right, next.
I noticed its presence.
What?
I don't... Man, look. It's not wrong to get angry, internet man, about something. Just go ahead, right? Because anytime you're upset about anything, you're angry, internet man. So whoever you are, go ahead and own that mantle for however long you have to be upset about something. You see that shit in Portal 2, and you're like, well, but Portal 1 was such a svelte and perfect and self-contained thing. Shit, you don't want to get anywhere near it.
It's... In Half-Life 3, you'll be able to like get the microtransaction of your own little pet head crab to walk around with you, you know?
Well, they've already talked about their idea for the future of the franchise, or for the series, you know? They don't like the idea of pure single player anymore.
Yeah.
The things that have always defined it, they don't really like that, and they don't see it working that way. Some kind of deep social integration at every level is their aim. Makes me uncomfortable a little bit. It'll probably be okay.
But it's that
just like everything else is actually okay.
Yeah, it's just the unknowing of, you know...
And it's the assumption that that'll be fine. That'll be my safe harbor. No, my friend. There are no safe harbors. I thought it was interesting. Watch me be wrong. Watch Half-Life 3 be like a complete throwback.
Bippo Ernesti, who I think has tweeted us the first time. Aw, man, in-game chat site's down. Now I can't check if I've missed any recent episodes.
Oh, you didn't.
Nope. It's actually been that long.
Largely because the site was so down for so long.
Yeah.
Because we were migrating to some other stuff that only worked about halfway.
Showdown 2020 says, hey, Scott, check your Showtime record on Chubb Lane in Burnout Paradise. Will do. Spigot says...
Somebody do something bad to you?
That obviously beat my Showtime
good
record. I don't know what it was on Chubb Lane.
Pretty awesome.
I have to go see. Spigot says, good going, Bullet Food. Bruce Campbell is your sidekick. Make sure you rub that in James' face on the next in-game chat.
What did you do?
I don't know. What'd you do?
Bruce Campbell was doing a whole questionnaire where you ask him questions and someone said, hey, who would be your, you know, hero? And he said, my hero would be, like, you know, a wounded soldier. So just I like tweeted back to him, like, hey, what, you know, I've, you know, been over there and deployed, you know, 3 times. I've never been wounded. Can I be at least be your plucky sidekick? And he's like, no, you know what? I'll be your sidekick. I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool.
That's fun.
Way to rub that in his face.
Take that, James.
This is my sad face.
Thundrago says, do you think the next COD and Battlefield will be multiplayer only and possibly have paid subscription? Would you be interested?
No. Wouldn't be.
Don't discount that shit out of hand.
No, the only COD...
Man, what if a motherfucker suddenly... What if they, you know, to borrow the phrase, accidentally got their shit together at Activision? Okay? What if all of a sudden, like, COD, like, turned great? And it's like, okay, well, you're gonna Battlefield me? Fine, I'll take the hit. I'll go back and redesign COD, and all of a sudden, they make all of a sudden COD and PlanetSide have a baby.
I'd
I know what you would do.
But I would. I mean,
and it was good. All right. I'm not going to be like COD and Planet Side have a baby, and it's a dumbass. And it's the worst thing in the world. Would you pay for it? Obviously, no. The assumption is that it comes out okay. But what if somebody finally took that formula and went back to this idea of an expansive, persistent, rank-intensive, like, structured, world-spanning multiplayer? Somebody will do it.
Yeah.
Not only do they have the name recognition of the most important Warfare franchise in existence, they also happen to have a little bit of MMO grunt at their company. I mean, they'd have to steal it all from Blizzard, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they could do that. I would really consider playing that.
I didn't like the multiplayer of Modern Warfare 2. I didn't like how it felt at all.
It wasn't good.
The first one...
That's why you didn't like it.
Yeah.
The first one was good.
But I'm afraid they would, you know, 3's going to be like that, and then anything else that's going to be is going to be more in that vein. And I'm just
Think so. They're not trying to do that. They're trying to monetize. They're easing into it very, very slowly, inch by inch, into monetizing the multiplayer. Their best bet... Well, I don't want to say that. I don't know. But I'm saying if somebody took their Modern Warfare franchise and... I mean, I think maybe Arma's taking it too far, just because of the realism. But if they took that level of fast play, fast-paced, punchy, you know, really aggressive military warfare, and put it on a planet-side scale, you'd have a lot of buyers. You really would. Fuck the single player. Who gives a shit? You know, it's... Everyone recognizes it for what it is. Mm-hmm. It's pointless. If they stripped the single player out of Battlefield 3, would you be any less interested?
No.
Of course not. You'd probably be more interested. So, yeah. If somebody really took it and amped it up. Yeah. And really, really turned the dial all the way to the right and just made this a proper, large-scale multiplayer game. I can see that game in my head, and it's a good game. So, it's obviously whatever. That's not going to happen, but... That reminds me, though. Planetside 2 is going into beta this year.
Yeah.
And it's free-to-play.
Free-to-play, yeah.
No idea about how the pricing structure is going to work, how the shops are going to work, but... Going into beta this year is pretty good.
That's something we have to try out.
Definitely. I wish I could have been there when you guys were playing Planet Side.
It was all right. We fucked it up and then we quit. But
it was fun in the beta for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of fun later. It just wasn't as fun. It wasn't a good shooter. It was good for other things.
Yeah.
But I'm really fascinated, if you have read some of the interviews that have been going around, I'm really fascinated by some of the changes they're making. They're obviously really aware of, you know, how much more of a shooter it needs to be.
Good.
It's important how they choose to monetize it, though. It's really important. Like, whether they restrict higher ranks to paying customers or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably a good idea. I don't know for sure, but I think it probably is. I don't really know, but...
You want your prestige, you know... Pay up.
Well, think about it like, in theory, a paying customer is going to give slightly more of a shit than a free noob, right? So maybe you want to invest to those people with rank and command a little bit more. I don't know. We'll see. Either way, beta this year, playing next. I can get behind that. Go ahead. Okay. I'll save my thought.
Thundrago also says, has Scott tried OnLive, and what do you think about GameStop removing OnLive coupons from PC versions of Deus Ex?
We've both tried it.
Yes, we have.
Because you brought your toy back.
Yeah.
And we played with the toy.
How is it?
Better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, it's pretty good, actually. It's pretty good, except for the library and the pricing. It makes no sense to me. It's not something that I... The idea of, like, having OnLive to simply rent games doesn't work. The majority of the things that... the majority of the things that they want you playing still require a purchase. So it isn't just like, I want to play Deus Ex and I want to rent it for like 10 bucks a day for however long. Like, you can't do that. Deus Ex was purchase only.
Yes.
I think Arkham City, while available for pre-order, is still going to be purchase only. And so we're back to the discussion we had before of like, maybe you like the idea of being able to play it from anywhere. Maybe all you have is a MacBook, you know? So playing it on somebody else's PC and you have a good internet connection, but you don't have a gaming rig, maybe. That fucking thing, though. Like, see what I'm saying? That's a pretty decent... That controller's, like,
yeah,
solid. It's very good. I think they did a really, really good job with it. For the most part, I think it's as good as the 360 controller, if not better.
Doing Sony, like how they're both the same positions.
And the console, the OnLive console, is actually really, really nice.
I like the buttons at the bottom with the play and the... Interesting.
Well, we can talk, we can show you what that's for later. It's actually really fun.
And apparently you can hook any controller you want to into the thing.
Oh, really?
I mean, you can plug in a 360 controller into the console itself. You can plug in a mouse and keyboard into it.
It's got what, HDMI?
Yeah, it's got HDMI, it's got optical out. What else? I think there's a headphone jack, I think, on the back of it, too.
It's a pretty sexy little hardware interface.
I like how it actually makes it... You know, it's got...
It's an excellent... I like it. It's an excellent controller.
I mean, sometimes I think
taking a field trip. Over the TV now.
I think... yeah.
Curiosity has gotten to him.
Did you pause it?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
Because we're on a show.
Yeah. It would... I'd have to...
It's tiny as shit.
All it is you know, it's just a physical interface to make it operate the way it really should.
If you want, there is a box behind you, Jeremy.
Yeah.
There's a console behind you that you can look into on that one and sit on the couch and look at behind you.
Oh,
yeah, well done. Sometimes I think the PS3 controller is a little too light. So, you know, that's nice with the good weight to it.
Yeah. I've played with it already. Yeah.
We'll take a look after the show.
We didn't. I mean,
it
we
pretty
played,
much needs every bit of the internet I've got in order to work.
You know, believe it.
As good as it can.
We played some Batman and just the challenge rooms, and I didn't notice any trouble whatsoever. I mean, it's not a first-person shooter, but it's all timing based, and didn't have any problems that weren't me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I just don't like... I don't like what they have on offer. I don't like the fact that I can either subscribe and get a whole bunch of games I don't care about, or I have to purchase a game. Why the fuck would I do that? You know, I'm never, ever going to do that. So, for certain people, I think it's probably really excellent. Hell, it's worth signing up for an account just for the arena and Brad clips.
Yeah. Those are good. And they're all free.
And it didn't look too bad.
No.
It didn't look as sharp as it would on a PC. It actually didn't look as sharp as it would on a console. But you could tell that things were generally running in a higher resolution than they would on the console. You could tell that the textures were better, but the image quality overall had a bit of... You know, it was like a really high-quality YouTube video, but it was still, you know, it was what you expect for a streaming image.
Yeah.
But all things considered, it was impressive.
How much is the pricing for it? How much is it?
That motherfucker's retail for 100?
It's 100 bucks, but I mean.
But I mean, that's that console and the controller.
They were giving them out free at PAX. Yeah, I mean the service itself. If you want to go to use your PC or your Mac or whatever, that's nothing. It's just you're paying for the ability to hook it up to your TV, basically.
Which is nice.
Yeah. But like they're giving them out free if you pre-order Saints Row the Third, if you pre-order Arkham City, a couple others. If you pre-order the games, you get a free console. If you don't want the console, if you already have the console, they'll give you a free game. Hmm. They do $5 Fridays, and so this week was Metro 2033, $5.
Okay,
not bad.
They had a huge Labor Day sale. They were selling Batman for $1.
Wow.
So I picked that up.
Yeah.
They've got the $10 buffet, which is you pay $10 a month, you have access to 80-plus games. Not their entire library, but 80 or so games. And that kind of continues to increase. I don't know how often it does, but it does increase. And you can play those as often as you want, or as much as you want. So... but yeah, we'll look over it after the show. But what did you think about the GameStop removing the online coupon, on-live coupons from PC versions of Deus Ex? And then, if, I guess, going the extra mile and removing the damn game from store shelves altogether.
Well, if they were being told to open the game, then it just makes sense to get rid of the game until they could restock it without the coupon.
Yeah.
So...
That's what was going on to begin with, and then it got out that they were doing that, and it's like no.
Yeah, on. I don't think going the extra mile and removing the game was anything other than just well, whatever. The only other option is to tear the game open and remove the coupon. So, they shouldn't have done that. They should have just pulled the game. You know. It was a little bit... I thought it was a little bit weird. Obviously, it was some fuck-up. I wouldn't have taken it too personally, I don't suppose.
I talked to one of the GameStop managers, and he said, yeah, obviously, they were upset that, you know, Square Enix didn't let them know that the coupon was in there. Because if they would have let them know, then they could have, you know, said, hey, hold on a second. But it was, like, you know, complete shock. But I could, you know, somewhat see how the people, you know, people could be upset. It's one thing to open up, you know, to get the game for display, you know, because then, you're, you know, you still get everything that's included in it. But to, you know, get the game and remove something that was included, you know, that I'm not too keen on.
That's nothing you paid for. It's...
But imagine if, like, back when they had GTA 3... and they had like the little coupons in there for the free month of Xbox Live. Mm-hmm. If you know GameStop just you know got the games and took those out, you know you're not paying for that free coupon a month of Xbox Live, but it's still supposed to have been in there.
I sort of understand that. I get that it's a competitor's coupon and the arrangement never should have been made in the first place.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that it's a competitor's coupon, that something like OnLive is something they consider a competitor. Enough so that they're pulling the coupon.
Yeah, but Deus Ex uses Steamworks. Right?
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't?
Okay. Yeah.
Do they consider,
it's a Steam game.
Do they not consider Steam a competitor?
No, they do. But
I think
it's a coupon.
Okay.
It's an incentive to yeah.
I mean, Dead Island also Steamworks, too. And, like, you know, when I picked that up today, I didn't even bother with the disc. I just went into Steam. And
right, but it doesn't have a coupon for another digital service.
Yeah. But it's actually, you just put in the product code.
I mean, but Steamworks are not Steamworks. Steamworks is a form of DRM.
Yeah.
So that isn't like saying, buy this game and get $10 off of some other game at Steam or some shit like that.
Well, then again, what was the coupon like to get that game
to get
on
Deus Ex on live? Yeah,
which is hardly even really a coupon. It's just like, hey, here's another way to play this game.
Like they do with Portal 2 for the PS3. You know,
I think there's a distinction. Maybe not to the consumer, but to the people who make it and sell it and distribute and do all of those other things. To people who work in marketing and spend marketing levels of money, there's a difference. So, I don't know. I don't really care that it happened that way. And anybody who pre-purchased it and had their coupon taken out was, to my understanding, compensated really well for having their coupon removed.
Yeah, they did give them something, and I can't remember what it was.
Gave them, like, store credit or gift certificate or something to the store.
Like, free used game or something like that. I don't remember what it was, but it was, you know, they apologized.
Largely because what they did was they invalidated they made it impossible to return the game for any reason, because they won't accept returns on PC games that are open.
Yeah.
So they fucked their own product. It was stupid. It was just a stupid little thing. I wouldn't have been worried about it.
The most startling thing to me is that anybody cares enough about what GameStop does with PC games in the first place. I don't understand buying a boxed copy of a PC game.
I think there could be. I don't understand. I wouldn't understand preferring it.
Mm-hmm.
Could understand if you had store credit for some reason, or had like shitty, bad, awful internet. There are a lot of people who have data caps who prefer to buy it on disk, because then, like, all they're doing is they're activating online instead of having to, like, download the entire game online. This is actually a very, very common theme on the Steam forums. The number of people who, like, the discussions of disc copy versus digital copy.
Or someone who likes collector's editions, like the collector's edition of Skyrim.
Yeah, if you want physical, if you want tchotchkes. I mean,
yeah, if you want, like, the statue and the cloth map and the all that stuff.
That's kind of where I'm sitting with Batman at the moment.
Yeah.
I guess that's a nice little thing.
You think about the collector's edition?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about it with Skyrim, honestly.
I don't buy fucking collector's editions of video games, man.
I know.
Not unless they come with, like, some magnificent fucking game thing, you know? I mean, I like action figures, you know, like statuary, I like that kind of shit, but nobody really does that anymore. That's any good. Fuck it. It's never any good. Like I can't find the fucking soundtrack if I want it. Whatever.
Yeah, Batman's getting a statue.
Mm-hmm.
That's my draw. Of course, my Batarang was the draw in the first game. See what that turned out to be.
A camera mount.
Rather nice one.
Anyway.
But, I mean, I could see, like, the collector's editions, like the Mortal Kombat or the Ace Combat, where they come with a stick.
I mean, that, yeah, you know, dude, like more... like shit that you can't download. I get it. Yeah. You can't download a flight stick yet. But, like, just in general, the only legitimate reason I could really think of was the guys who said, like, this download is, like, what, like 12 gigs, you know? I've got data caps to consider.
Yeah.
I'll buy a physical copy. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. So.
That's one of the other things that will hinder on live.
Yeah.
Data caps.
Yeah, I guess you're right about that.
Yeah.
You know, that scares me.
Yeah.
Data caps.
Like as a bogeyman, like, creeping around out there.
Every time somebody else says, we just got data, I'm like, oh, fuck, get closer. It's like some weird black wave.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't come here yet.
I don't like it.
I know
we're
usually last to get fucking anything.
I will do a lot to avoid it.
At this point, I'm grateful.
I will pay a lot to avoid a data cap.
Yeah.
I'll accept slower internet to avoid a data cap.
Yeah, probably.
Down to a certain amount, anyway.
Well, if you consider that, the most important thing for me is, God, I would go down to, like, what I had before, like 1.5 or something like that, yeah. Because that's nothing you need to play online.
That's exactly where I was thinking would be my bottom.
Yep. Because you could always play online just fine with that. Yeah. Faster internet doesn't necessarily give you better pings.
Right.
Past a certain point. So, I would go back to having to take all night to download a couple of Steam games, but, you know, I'd rather reach my non-existent data cap never.
Yes.
than my existing data cap awfully fast. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's troublesome.
Spigot says, have any of you had a chance to read Ready Player One? It's great. Thinks no crash, but with a focus on video games and 80s trivia. I've heard about it, but I haven't read it. Might take a look.
I like 80s trivia.
I don't like 80s trivia.
Really?
Yeah. I don't like to think about the 80s anymore. It was too long ago.
I actually just rewatched Flight of the Navigator.
Oh, did you?
Since I was a kid, yeah.
Did you get that after the last show?
After the last show?
Yeah.
No, I just got it a couple days ago on HDTV capture.
Well, since the last show.
Since the last show, yeah. Did we mention that on the last show?
We talked about it for like 15 minutes.
Yeah. Huh. Wonder if that was like some subliminal thing, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about
how the
because of the DARPA shit that they were testing.
HDTV 2. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. It looks exactly like the fast form of the
Navigator.
Now I remember that comment being made, yeah. I got that in The Rocketeer.
I love The Rocketeer.
Rocketeer's a great movie.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Man.
Rocket.
Back when that chick used to eat food. Wow. Holy shit. She is still a knockout in that fucking movie.
Yeah.
God damn it, she looks great.
He goes on to say, on the same topic, what are some of the Easter eggs and games that you're proudest of discovering or that you just think are cool?
Say that again?
Easter eggs and games.
What are some of the Easter eggs and games that you're proudest of discovering or that you just think are cool?
Okay. I miss the old days of like LucasArts games.
Of course you miss the old days, especially if it pertains to LucasArts games.
When they would have like Max somewhere in their game. From Sam and Max, you know, like in a Jedi Knight, when you know, like if you do certain things and you go in this room, there's Max with his guns, or and you know, Dark Forces, there's a level that was, you know, if you go in the map and certain part of it, you know, it's Max's head, or you know, they would incorporate him somewhere, or God, the fish,
Dope Fish,
yeah, I saw him in Human Revolution.
Oh yeah, where?
Was it the Baller territory? No. When you had to go into, the two gangs in Detroit.
Uh-huh.
Was it the Ballers? Who were the other ones?
The other guys.
Yeah.
Street Kings, Detroit Street Kings or something.
No. But yeah, when you're trying to, like, infiltrate, to, you know, for the chick who's undercover.
Yeah.
In the area where you find the weapons.
Uh-huh.
There's, you know, someone graffitied a dope fish.
Oh, I remember paying attention to it. Maybe I saw that.
So, I mean, a throwback like that, I'm like, all right, that's kind of cute. Trying to think of, like, just really cool Easter eggs.
I was never really particularly, I don't know, I never really cared one way or the other about them.
I think the biggest reaction I ever had to one was one I found on accident. The first one I ever found was Bump and Jump on the Atari 2600. When you lost all your lives or whatever, if instead of hitting reset, you hit level select, you would continue at the last level you died at. I hit that on accident, and I started on like whatever seasonal level died at. And I was like, "Gah! What'd I do? I want to do that again." So like I was like, whatever, I'm going to play. And I played and I got a lot further than I'd ever gotten before because I'd continued. I was like, all right, I'm going to guess that I hit that switch instead of that one. And I hit it and it did it again. So that made me really happy. But then I was also like, you know, 5 years old or whatever. So. Yeah. Only other thing I can remember getting a really big kick out of wasn't an Easter egg. It was the negative world glitch in Super Mario 1.
Yeah.
I liked being able to pull that off.
I can't think of any.
So.
I remember the finding Superman and Choplifter on a plane. If you shot a bunch of anti-air enemies, and Superman will come with the pylon. The next prison cell you open up, the hostages will run that much faster.
Yeah.
You can pick them up quicker and get out of Dodge. So ever since then, I've been aiming for those anti-air things every time I play.
Wesker sunglasses.
The best non-existent Easter egg ever.
Yep. Yes.
And of course, the Konami code in Contra.
Is that really an Easter egg? Or just, you know, code? I wouldn't call that an Easter egg. That's just a cheat code.
Whatever. All I know is, like, me and a friend of mine had strep, so we stayed at his house and we played the shit out of Contra with our 30 mans.
Yeah.
Thundrago says, with the current trend of HD remakes, which franchise would you most want updated to HD? X-Wing, TIE Fighter, anyone?
Yes.
Yes.
I'll have to do a little bit of math here and basically say, like, any of the...
Tully games?
Yeah, well, any of that old Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
Dark Forces. Please.
Jedi Knight. See, please. Updated to HD.
Jedi Knight would be...
I mean, those don't... See, that doesn't really follow the proper... It doesn't really follow what we see. Really, what we're seeing is things from
last generation
or two generations ago.
Made nice.
Made nice, which is fine. But yeah.
It's like if they did the original.
I would sacrifice them all. All of them, for X-Wing, TIE Fighter, full series remake, or you know, proper sequel or something.
I'm talking with Kevin recently about like what we wouldn't give. For an X-Wing study sim. Not, you know, I wanted that
so bad.
But an actual, because, you know, he's playing A-10 right now. He's like, yeah, it's tough. And we started talking about that. And he's like, yeah, it's different than Falcon 4 and everything. I'm like, imagine that level of detail, but you're in an X-Wing.
Yeah.
The only thing you fly. You don't go into B-Wing. You don't go into A-Wing. Just an X-Wing or just a TIE Fighter.
Yep.
But you have to know everything.
You have to do everything in it.
Yeah.
Take care of it, like, from...
Head to toe.
Take off to landing.
Yeah. Landing gear up, all that stuff. S-foils. That would be amazing.
Yeah, I always liked that idea.
What's funny is I had entertained this thought just earlier today about Soul Reaver. An update of the original Soul Reaver. And then I thought about it, and I was like, you know, I don't know if that gameplay would really hold up for me anymore.
MechWarrior 2.
When was the last time you played it?
Soul Reaver?
Yeah.
Dreamcast was the last time
it came out, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first one, I mean,
obviously. What I'm saying is I'm wondering how much of that, you know, how much worse that gameplay would actually be.
Mm-hmm.
If at all. Like I've told you before, it was a Dreamcast thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, in my mind, it still looks as good as it does today. Like... All Dreamcast games look HD in my head. I don't know why that is, but for some reason they don't.
Your head, they don't age.
In my head, no, well, in my head, they are always as
current.
They're always current. I don't know why, but for some reason that's exactly the way it is. I think the gameplay might be all right. I would far rather have an HD update or a remake of Blood Omen. The first one, that was much more to my liking, as good as Soul Reaver was.
Yeah, I'd enjoy that too, because I didn't play. I played a little bit of that, but I never went through the entire thing. Because at that point, Soul Reaver was already out, and it was like, hey,
it was kind of hard to.
Yeah, it was like, oh no, there's because I looked at Soul Reaver as being a standalone. Like, no, it's a sequel to this game over here.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, that boggled my head, because I'm like, that game looks nothing like this game. Right.
Yeah.
It was a really good game, though, and I did play it.
Well, yeah, once I got into the lore and the history of everything, I was like, I really want to go back and play that.
That whole series, I think, actually could do with updating all the way through. The last one was PS2, right?
No. Yes. Yeah. Xbox and PS2. Yeah.
Although I played Defiance on the PC,
well,
so it looked in my head looks a lot better than PS2. But that was the right era.
That was the right era. That would be. I think they could all probably do with an update, because there was a lot of them after that point that I skipped. you know, or just never finished or something. That whole series would be good. But I, again, I would trade them all. I would sacrifice every one of them on an altar just to get another proper space sim. I would even consent to having a proper Star Wars space sim set in any part of the Star Wars history just to give me a proper done Totally Games space sim.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, what's the last thing the Totally Games did? Bridge Commander?
It was either Bridge Commander or...
Which wasn't bad.
When did they... Did they do...
Secret Weapons over Normandy?
That's what I was thinking.
I think they did.
Okay,
but that was so different from...
You know what, though?
Yeah, it was.
Here's the thing.
That was like Crimson Skies.
The Star Wars...
Just arcadey.
Yeah, but not like Crimson Skies.
It was arcadey like Crimson Skies was.
It
wasn't. Arcade-y.
The nature of the Star Wars property, though, means it can be applied to just about any genre. So yes. they're always going to be using it for things they find more lucrative. Your best shot at getting another proper space game is going to come from somewhere else.
Star Lancer?
Nope. Because Star Lancer, it never... Yeah. Neither it nor Freelancer really found the kind of success they're looking for. I mean, we think about them a lot, but...
Because they're awesome games. But people didn't buy them.
To find a property that has
the push?
The cachet or whatever that you would need to for a company to go and be like, hey, we should update this and bring it back because of the nostalgia factor, else we could probably make some solid. I think you have to go to Wing Commander. And I never played any of those. But
it would have to be nothing like fucking Wing Commander.
Yeah.
It would have, I mean, well, it's too like far
the
gone.
The movie was...
Oh, good. Shut up. Every fucking opportunity to bring up the damn movie.
That's so bad.
What was the...
I agree with you about the name.
Yeah.
Because anybody can go out and make, like, whatever space thing. Sure. And a lot of times that has a tendency to either be assy or unlikable.
Mm-hmm.
If you could put both of your hands on the Wing Commander property, that would be pretty good. You just have to rebuild it from the ground up, though.
Yeah.
It's too old. It's not even just the old. It's just, you'd have to come at it entirely.
Wing Commander, subtitle Colony Wars? Was it Colony Wars?
Colony Wars was another game.
Yeah, well, I know.
And it was pretty damn good.
It was very good.
Actually. It wasn't quite spacey, well, in a way, but like we're not in open space, but G-Police
was fucking great. Fun.
That was the same people that made Colony
Wars.
Yes, it was.
I mean, to me, that always felt like Blade Runner.
It was supposed to. And it was really good.
Actually. I would love to see a HD remix of G-Police.
I would like to see a...
Or a sequel.
A sequel or a remake.
A reboot.
Yeah. A lot of great properties out there.
Back from that PlayStation era and older, man. Like, you couldn't remake. You got to reboot that shit. Because the fiction was so goddamn bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't have good writers back then.
I
or good voice actors or good anything other than game designers, really.
And here's the thing, that's one of the things that makes space combat sims so good, or made them so good, is that I mean think about what you actually have to play with.
Mm-hmm.
You have very little to play with. You have very brief spurts of dialogue. Very brief. And you have an empty black box, just a dead, empty skybox, and you put some chips in it that shoot at each other. Maybe and somehow...
A nebula or two.
But that's not something you can interact with.
Yeah.
Like, you just put this shit in there, and you shake it up, and you do that about, like, 30 times, and there's your story somehow. Somehow they managed to come out of that shit, having told you a really, really good tale. Mm-hmm. Add that philosophy of game design to our modern ability to spend real money on storytelling. We haven't seen anything like it. I mean, when was the last good... I mean, I know, the X series has done some stuff, but it's agonizing in a lot of ways. It's a little bit too cerebral. At some levels, you know, or too disorganized. It's too much.
How long have we been clamoring for TIE fighter in space, land plant side, Jedi Knight.
Yeah.
You know, where you could do that, where you can, you know, fly around. There's a planet way over there. Let me hyperspace to there. Actually break through the planet, you know, surface, and then, all right, here I am. Let me hop out and do what I got to do. Because Freelancer was kind of like that, except it was very static on the planet.
Yeah, you didn't really get out to do anything.
You just, like, click here, click there, click there, you know.
Freelancer was fine.
If you had, like, you know, a city, like Hangsha, where you could actually roam around and then hop in your spaceport and then, like, fly to another place, you know, go explore in the, you know, space wherever you want.
It'd take a lot of time and money and manpower to make.
Yeah. That's why I think maybe an MMO would be, you know, if you had that setting in an MMO.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Maybe.
That's where the Star Wars MMO needs to be, not Old Republic. Have it current time.
Oh, you're very wrong. You couldn't do it. You couldn't. I know what you're thinking, but you couldn't do it. I would, yeah, I agree that an MMO can be okay, but I like them. You know that.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're the right place to do everything. Not yet. I think.
But for that kind of need of, you know, space, land, exploration.
I guess. Who the fuck even knows why nobody does that shit anymore? I can't figure it out. I know why people don't make adventure games anymore. Well, they kind of
They're starting to. Yeah, I mean, I like how it's starting to come back around.
I think the licenses were extremely important for space combat, though. So,
well, I mean, Star Lancer, you know, in particular, we paid a lot of attention to because of who was making
because of who Digital Anvil
was.
That shit was born of Wing Commander.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chat room, Lavos says HD remake of Odin Sphere.
Never played that.
HD remake of Vagrant Story.
Yeah. That's a good choice, actually.
He says Square could do an HD remake of Final Fantasy VIII, no problem, since all their games look like that now anyway.
I still want MechWarrior. If I could have my HD remake of MechWarrior 2.
You don't want an HD remake of MechWarrior. I just keep saying that. You want another MechWarrior game.
Yeah.
Don't use those phrases interchangeably.
But, I mean, I like the story of two. You know, the clan war between, you know, the wolf and Jade Falcon. You know, that. I mean, that was it. I like that clan war. Then when you add the ghost bear into it. I know Kevin disagrees with me. He's an inner sphere guy. But, you know, I'm a clanner. I've always liked their technology. I like the history, you know, from back in the days of Battletech. So, I could have, you know, the current Mech Warriors since then, you know, they were, from what I remember, you know, it's been years, but they weren't as clan heavy, where you weren't a clanner. You're more inner sphere or a mercenary. So, kind of, you know.
Let's see, next. Senator Spacer says, is it just me? Oh, here we go. Is it just me, or is the last level in Deus Ex HR kind of spooky? Currently, it's going to be just you and maybe Matt and James.
I wouldn't go spooky. Just more unsettling.
Yeah.
And just trying to see how I can phrase this without giving away.
It was a change of pace.
Yeah.
I did not like it.
A lot of backing up.
I didn't back up.
Several times, you know, back up, throw, blow, and fire.
Bitches didn't see me.
Did you try and do as much as possible no kill?
Yeah, I got fucked, though. I actually got. You can't kill the guys in the intro, which they don't tell you.
No.
But it wouldn't have mattered because I kept running into. I encountered a bug several times where if you would trank somebody, like you'd like trank a bunch of dudes and like slowly take down a whole area, but then like one or two of the dudes would be dead. even though they're tranked.
Tranked him in the head.
Not even, you know, it just random, like, weird.
Cavalier says, nothing spooky when you're spamming the grenade launcher.
No.
Yes.
Well, I mean, on my second playthrough, I've been just openly, like, raucously violent.
Yeah. Murderifying everything.
And the game is much less for it, actually.
I tried as much as possible the sneaking and the trank darts, and then after a while, I'm like, let me just get out my pistol and start popping them in the head. You know, I'm like, fuck it, I'll just kill these guys.
Yeah, Senator Spacer says all the whispering and yelling creeped me out.
Yeah. And I know several times I would go to my infrared vision, or whatever, the see-through wall vision. I'd be like, looking around, like, all right, where's that coming from? I hear the guy. Yeah. Where is he? Because if I could see him, I could try and find a way to get to him and shut him up.
Well, everything you do in the game before that point is about...
stealth and...
It's about stealth, but it's about how you control the situation. And even if you get in a fight, even if somebody sees you, they don't do what happens in that last level.
Yeah.
And you realize that the way the game is built, particularly the way that Adam Jensen is put together as a player character, is not designed to handle that particularly well if you're focusing on one kind of gameplay. So, but I never got seen. So, which is funny because the game isn't really, the game doesn't keep track of that. It keeps track of kills. It keeps track of alarms.
Yeah.
But it doesn't keep track of, like, were you ever seen, spotted as a whole thing. Because you get
you can not get your ghost, but yet still not have an alarm set.
Right. Right. And they can kind of be suspicious of you, and you can still get your ghost.
They can be openly hostile, but, you know, you can take them out real quick. If it's, like, just one guy by himself, he can actually be openly hostile, see you, and, like, start shooting at you. But if you, like, knock him out before he hits the alarm, I think you'd still be good.
Well, you'd still get the no alarm clear. Yeah. I don't think you'd still get the ghost clear.
No.
And I ghosted everything.
Because there's a... When you're in Detroit, and you're... there's a... What was that mission where you're trying to get the dirt on the guy?
Yeah, it's the... Yeah, the one where you're trying to work with the dirty cop.
Yeah.
With O'Malley.
One of your secondary objectives is to do all the shit you've got to do in that territory
without being seen.
Right.
Yeah.
And alarmed is okay. Hostile will not fail that.
Right.
Okay. Even if it's just for a moment.
Okay.
So,
for the no kills, does that include, you know, if you hack the turrets?
Yeah. Yep. That goes against
the only thing. The boss fights.
Because I tried that once. I did I had enough praxis points where I could override the robots.
Yeah.
And so I overrode them and I said, "What? Let's just see what happens if I turn it on enemies." First off, I didn't know if I turn it on enemies, do they react whenever I set off the alarm to open the doors and actually, you know, have the robots out there? Well, apparently, if you turn it on to attack the enemies, their doors open up and the robots just come out right there. And fuck, it was just, you know, shooting and everything else. It was fun, but yeah, already I had the hostile. I was getting marksman achievements or shit I didn't do, but I turned them on. So
yeah,
technically I killed those people. So yeah, you'll get, you don't really get demoted. You'll just lose getting that achievement or getting that bonus.
There's no new game plus, is there?
Nope. Well... not really.
So then I'm wondering, what's the point at the very end? I keep on finding money. I'm like, if I don't have anything to spend it on, why do I care about finding
the
credits?
I don't know. I have no idea. I was wondering the same thing. I don't know why they were actually distributed. There's no achievement associated with getting credits.
Yeah.
I thought I might get something once I broke 10,000. Because I haven't gotten to a point where I can do anything with all those credits. There's a
where
huge...
are you?
I'm in Montreal still.
You'll be able to.
Oh, I know. You have to. I know you're going. I'm going back.
Yeah.
Because you already said that you got to go to the limb clinic.
Yeah, when you every time you go back to an area, the limb clinics are restocked.
But there's a huge gap of playtime before you can do anything with your credits. There's a massive, because once you leave Hangzhou the first time?
And go into Taiyang Medical.
Yeah.
From Taiyang Medical takes a long time.
All the way through that, through Montreal.
And then back to...
Then we can get back to Detroit.
Back to Detroit.
Yeah. You've got all that time to just grab a shit ton of credits.
Well, and again,
grabbed also
there's two kids at 5,000 per.
Yeah.
So that blows 10
yeah.
right there.
Yeah. If you go by so, fast.
I... Yeah. I don't know. We know there's DLC.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure we know where it's going to happen. I'm not going to mention it. We know when it's taking place. When in the game. It's not taking place after the game.
Yeah.
Which is frustrating, so.
Because that, I mean, that would totally negate one of the endings.
What would?
If the DLC did place
oh,
after?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, maybe. Depends on what the DLC was.
And, true.
It could be, you know... He could have, It could everything could have been okay by a Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah.
You know? That would have been fun.
Yeah.
I thought for what it's worth that all of them could, through either no wanking or a very small amount of wanking, be considered canonical to the first game. I thought that was both interesting and sort of cowardly, but whatever.
Did you go back and play through all four
endings?
Yeah.
You don't play.
Oh, did you?
You go don't. Back and no, play? Dude. I just sat there with literally four buttons in front of me and didn't push them all.
So, all right. The first button you push, would that be like your true first? Yeah, this is how I want.
Well,
this
that
to end?
That Jensen, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That I will talk about it when we get.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it a little bit later, so they can leave the room. Yeah, that last level, though, I mean, I will say that just in general, it did suffer from some of the things that other games suffer from, which is, like, has a tendency to kind of lose its identity in the last... It's not to such a degree, but you really do look at a game like this and wonder how the design falls apart so much, how it drifts so far from what made everything you did up to this point
important,
fun and magnificent, yeah. and idiomatic, you know? Why the fuck did the last 10% of Bioshock have to work that way?
Mm-hmm.
Why all of a sudden change everything about the game? This was not nearly that bad, but it was reminiscent of that.
It wasn't as
kind
long.
Of thing. Huh?
It wasn't, I mean, went as long as the Bioshock.
It depends on how you played.
Yeah.
Bitch, they never saw me. It took a while. Okay? I didn't kill any of them, and they never saw me. So, and I knew the game wasn't, like, tracking that, even though it could, you know? Like, ghost every mission? How come that wasn't an achievement?
Yeah.
Hmm.
But it's not. There's no achievement associated with that.
That's sad.
Yeah. I did get my Foxiest of the Hounds, though.
I didn't get that one.
Yeah. That's no alarms.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cavalier's working on that one. He said he's done two playthroughs and still hasn't got it, so the third one's up next.
It's the... Last I checked, it's the third rarest achievement in terms of global stats. Pacifist is slightly rarer. And I would have... I would have gotten that if...
The Tranks only killed?
Well, here's the thing. When the Tranks were doing that, I went out and looked it up, and I was like, what the fuck is up with this? And then people said... Well, let me ask you something. Did you kill the guys in the beginning? And, you know, it's like, yeah. And it's like, well, it doesn't matter anyway. Like, you already fucked yourself by killing the six or seven guys at the very beginning of the game. So I was like, ah, fuck it. If I hadn't, I simply would have found another way to deal with the guys instead of tranking them. I would have been very, very careful. But I had already long since screwed myself and gotten passes. The by far the rarest thing is the... whatever, read all 29 XP books.
I think I missed
like
one.
Like 0.5% of the population has actually gotten
that. Oh, wow.
And I was... Dude, I was careful, okay? One playthrough took me 45 hours.
I was up
and
to 50 hours.
And like... Yeah. I don't know how I missed it. I looked everywhere. I had no...
missed a
bit. I had fully expected to get that achievement.
I read somewhere that in your the first time going through Hangzhou, you have to have a certain Og to get a, to get one of the books.
Why would you have to have a certain Og?
It's the Icarus.
Is it? I'm assuming you're talking about there would be an air shaft, like one of those places where like you can only enter from the top, and you have to do like a drop down or something. Because there's a couple of those. Die. Yeah, but I had it.
Yeah, but if you that seems odd though, because if you drop down and there's no way for you to get out of that position.
There are a couple of places like that in the game actually, okay. Where there's drop downs, like specific.
There would have to be, I mean, obviously you'd have to have another augment of like breaking through the wall or maybe the really, really high jump augment or something.
Or you go down and then you go through a shaft and it brings you back up, but somewhere you can't get to normally.
I can't remember one in Hangzhou. I very specifically remember one when you're going through Taiyang and crossing up to the upper level. I remember it very specifically.
Oh, when you turned off the electrocution,
Like on the there was an area around there where you went back up, and there was like a thing like that you couldn't get to directly.
Until I had already increased my jump level by that time, and a couple other things. So
when I found there's one at the end also.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Hey, I have a question.
Yeah.
When y'all talk to Anonymous X at the Limb Clinic, did you give the professional, the dismissive, or the impatient answer?
I've done both now.
Okay.
I did professional first, but whichever one, the funny one's funnier.
Yes.
The funny one is funnier. But that's pretty easy to see, thanks to, you know, the fact that it actually shows what your dialogue will be to some extent.
Yeah, I thought of you when that first happened. I was like, oh, he actually said what that said it was going to say.
Yeah, I like that. I was just trying to, you know, that was that Jensen.
Yeah.
First time Jensen was a more professional Jensen.
Hey, where does the, that leak shit you guys played, what part of the game was that you guys got to play?
The beginning, up until...
Detroit?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like all of Detroit, just about.
Wow.
Yeah, and the FEMA, because I...
All the way up
to the
stopped
all the way
fight.
To Barrett.
Yeah.
Also...
I got all the way to Barrett.
Did y'all pay Anonymous X?
Yeah, sure.
No.
Yeah. If I'm gonna be professional, yeah.
Yeah, I paid him.
Okay.
Or
I didn't like it, but I paid
him. I know it didn't matter, but I still paid him.
I didn't. In Hangzhou when
I'm sorry. I did not pay him. I was thinking of the bartender. Whenever I paid off the debt of one chick or whatever.
I did see like for the bartender and also in Hangzhou when the guard in the hotel when he's like taking a smoke break and everything. Yeah, like you pay him for the information. Afterwards, shocked him and took my money back.
I didn't pay him for the information. I had the KC Og.
Oh. I didn't get that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's fun. It's really fun.
I think, next time, I mean, I'm assuming obviously it opens up a new dialogue option.
Well, no.
No?
Not exactly. Yes and no. What it does, allows you to know which of several options will be effective. And then, past a certain point, it opens up new dialogue options. But based on stuff that you already know. So yeah, it does and it doesn't. In every situation.
Which, when you're talking to, fucking brain fart, your boss, David Seraph.
Uh-huh.
And you're trying to get him to tell you about
the back door?
The thing, yeah.
The firewall back door thing, yeah.
I had to redo that sequence a couple of times.
Oh, really?
Because I wasn't happy with the way I had done it.
Uh-huh.
But, like, the first bit of it, I was. So I did it the same time, like, three times.
Yeah.
The second time I did it, even though my answers were identical, his reaction to one of my questions was not.
Huh.
Instead of it...
For sure?
Yes. Because both times, every time I picked like whatever that the bottom option was,
refocus.
Yeah, yeah.
You can refocus him all the way through, and it'll work.
It worked the first and third time. The second time I did it, I was like, "Hey, we need to refocus here, boss." And he's like, "No, I don't need to refocus." He's like, "I think we're getting off track here, boss." He's like, "No, I'm not getting off track." Blah 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 blah. And he like got mad at me, mm-hmm. and the little persuasive thing went down. I was like, "What the fuck? That's exactly what I did the first time."
Yeah.
And I realized that like the line he had delivered to me was different than the one he had delivered the first time.
A different thing had lit up
on the personality thing.
I've heard people say that the NPCs in those, during those conversations have different starting moods.
Yeah.
And that can lead them down a slightly different path.
Mm.
And I wonder if anything does anything change if you take forever to answer?
I don't know, maybe.
Because I know I took a long time. I'm waiting for one. Like,
really, come on, Adam, let's talk.
They'll all do that.
Yeah.
If you wait long enough, they'll all say something.
I was like, looking at this one, look at that one, look at that. Which one do I choose? And they start berating me. I'm like, okay.
I always feel like time is a factor of anything I'm doing in there.
It really isn't. Except
I know.
Except for once in the whole game,
but I always feel like, man, at the beginning, if I don't, it's, yeah, you know.
Which is a shame. That should have actually played in a little bit more.
Yeah.
Through the rest of, like, you couldn't leave side quests hanging too long type of shit or mm-hmm. something. Or maybe main quests or, I don't know.
That would have been interesting if you had, like, a timer counting down. Like, I want to get this done, but I got to get this done first.
I was a little disappointed that the only time the time you took mattered, or has mattered so far, and from what I gather ever matters, is in that very beginning.
That's the only time. It never matters again.
That really played up your decisions as to being a lot more important than they actually turn out to be.
Yeah.
So.
It's very easy to break that in the game, actually. To get outside of whether things matter or not. It's one of the ways the game is actually broken.
I wish, you know, your interactions with, you know, the bartender or Anonymous X or, you know, I wish they actually mattered more or at all. Because it didn't, you know.
Those were side quests anyways, weren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's phenomenally hard to do. It's really, really hard to do. I don't worry too much about it. I mean, I wish that too, because it would have been more. I wish that more as well, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it didn't matter if I was a dick to him or not. It didn't ever come back, you know, really.
No, but I mean, yeah, I don't know what to tell you. Surprised me that... I'm sorry, how did you deal with Tong? Matt?
Yeah.
How did you deal with Tom?
Did you
talk to him in the bar?
Yeah.
Okay. Find it interesting that neither one of you did that.
You didn't talk to him in the bar either?
No, man.
He did exactly
the same thing I had.
I snuck in through the back.
Yeah.
And
went
then,
to the air vent, and a cutscene started. And I'm like, who's this guy?
I came out and I was like, oh, there's shit down here. I'm going to go explore. Because if I go up there, then I've like got to progress the story. And like I'd like to explore as much as I can before I go and like progress, make things
I know go. I do the same thing.
So I went down, I start going through, and yeah, I went a fucking vent, and I was like, go, cutscene. I was like, oh, okay,
didn't know what the fuck was going on. I was like, okay, so obviously,
yeah, no,
well,
no,
it's,
I
mean,
hey, that's
not being presumptive when I say that I think I like to explore before I do something at least as much as you guys, if not more. But, in my mind, okay, down there, down in the basement, is behind a locked door. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which means I'm already in unfamiliar territory.
Explore what you can.
Explore what you know and what is open and what is non-hostile before you explore areas that are potentially hostile. So I explored the entire open area before I committed to anything and then went looking around down there. And because I had already, like, seen old boy upstairs, where he was kind of supposed to be, he wasn't, you know, downstairs. And I was like, okay, this is clearly, like, his office and shit. So,
The thing that
I'm
sort of that way, but I'm more like, well, let me explore the bottom floor first before I go up top and start exploring.
If again, that would be fine if it was all of the same access and security level. But the thing is, it's like, okay, let me see, like, there's guards, here there's guards, here's this guy, there's this shit, there's a dude there, okay, now I'm going to go, like,
whatever. I had just snuck into a place that I clearly wasn't supposed to be in without being a member. So I could go right, where there's like a whole bunch of people that can see me walk into this place I just snuck into, or I can go left.
Yeah.
And so I went left, where there was less people. It just seemed like sort of the natural thing to do. And yeah, there's a locked door, but shit, man.
My thing was...
There's locked doors everywhere I go.
I got into the Hive, no problem, because I had the pass to get in, so I went to the Hive, and I look over, and there's the manager's office. There's a security fucking computer there, and one of his computers, and and I'm like, I need to get into that room and turn off these fucking cameras. That's almost my first reaction on anything. I want to turn off all your cameras.
Yeah.
Because I got a feeling that they were going to come back and bite me in the ass, but I just want them off. So I go looking for that room. I look how to get into that room, and I got into the back... Took out that dude, was looking around, there were doors, there were places to go, but as soon as I saw that air vent, I was like, nope, I gotta go in there, because there's XP in air vents.
Yeah.
So, let me go in, and there's also some goodies at the end. I go in the air vent, and cutscene.
If it weren't for the fact that I had to talk to the downstairs bartender to get a side quest, I would have really enjoyed just waltzing in there, getting the information I need and waltzing out completely unseen and unnoticed by any asshole in that building.
Yeah.
I felt really good about that.
I could never get into that room, by the way.
Into his office.
Into his office.
If you don't, you know, if you have a proper conversation with him.
Yeah, you do have free access.
Mm-hmm.
You actually go down there.
I never did.
And you also miss out on one of the...
I had his code to a safe that was in there, but I never could get in there.
You miss out on an achievement, because his is one of the...
Books? One of the e-books?
No. His conversation is one of the challenge conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's like the big fat, like, silver tongue experience bonus.
Yeah.
And the achievement associated with, like, winning his conversation. Which was its own thing, and its own kind of fun, because you know who he is. So.
He does look a lot better in this than he did in the first.
What?
He looked better. I mean, I could tell
who... him.
Tracer Tong?
That's not Tracer Tong. That's his dad. Tong in the club?
Yeah.
Is not Tracer Tong. That's his dad. Tracer Tong is his kid that you rescued.
Yeah. No, he calls him Tracer Tong.
No. No, he's not Tracer Tong.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could have sworn he's like Tong.
Tong, not Tracer.
That's
Tong.
The family name.
Tong is his surname.
Yeah, I thought you called him Tracer Tong.
No, you didn't. Now you're just making shit up. Tong is the surname.
Yeah,
the family name.
What is his first name again?
It's
Tommy.
No, oh, it's Tong. Damn it. I mean, it's very Chinese, but it reminds me of, like... It always reminds me of, like, Wong Fei-hung.
If you listen, the chat room says Tong Se-hong?
Yeah, it's something like that.
Or Tong Si-hong?
Yeah. And then his kid is Tracer. And, like, whole extra mission you had because you got the pre-order code?
Yeah.
That was Tracer Tong.
Okay.
Where the hell did you think that was?
His son.
Tracer Tong's kid? Fuck, dude. No, that was Tracer. And later when you get those emails, you read the emails?
Yeah.
It's very, very clear that that's Tracer.
Yeah, Tong Se-hung.
And then the other thing later was for Tracer. With the bomb?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thundrago says, so you can do random stuff, but you're basically funneled down a path. Not a bad thing.
No, not really. Not really. Until the path kind of is like a stupid path. Those are not the things that bother me. I don't mind that. I don't mind being funneled through like this wide open area and then back into a narrow thing. That's not what I consider broken about the game.
The last part.
The last part was just not the good. Game. I just didn't like it.
Yeah, the gameplay itself.
Now, if I were running around typhooning everything, sure, it'd be fine. It would feel probably pretty normal, but it didn't for how I was playing.
See, I looked up a thing on how to beat that second boss that I'm at right now, the chick.
Why didn't you just beat her the way I told you?
Well, you just told me I haven't.
Oh, I thought you said you just looked
it up. No. I was looking that up before, and like
you looked it up.
I was like, how can I beat this chick?
And why didn't you just reload and try something different?
Because I didn't even do that.
That's
with
how
stun
that's
though.
How games work.
Yeah,
this didn't work.
Let me try it again.
I'll do a different thing.
Uh huh.
Yeah, I used the shotgun, and then I used the.
Using a different weapon is not trying a different thing. Bosses are puzzles. That's all they are. Bosses are not just other guys.
I never got to the stun gun. So.
A boss is just a puzzle.
Okay.
And you have to look at like, was she killing you with the electricity?
Yes.
Yeah, it was like there were a lot of places on the floor you could go that weren't wet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, if you have the dermal implant that makes you immune to electricity.
Yeah, and I don't have that. Like, of course, it's a thought of getting. I've got Praxis points to spend right now, but the way that I was seeing online was using the Typhoon mod, and I was like, I don't want that. That's nothing but killing people, and that ain't my goal right now.
Yeah.
I think the first mod of it, isn't that a non-lethal?
No.
Typhoon? No.
No. It's lethal, but not... It's lethal. The lethal radius is smaller.
Okay.
And it can't destroy robots.
Yeah, but it just felt like a waste to get an AUG like that just for one boss fight. Because I'm either going to use this again on a boss, but I'm never going to use it. You know, if I kill somebody, I reload.
Yeah.
Because that's not the one.
I got the Typhoon, but I didn't use it.
Even though I know I'm not getting the achievement for...
Yeah.
You know, even though I know that I've already... That's kind of a conflict now and again, because I'll come up to something, I'm like, man, why don't you just go guns blazing? You're not going to get the fucking... But for whatever reason, it's a puzzle to me in that sense. That, like, this is a room, I have to figure out how to get through these guys.
And no, so, and that's super-duper fun. I mean, I'm not saying that the boss was great. Well, the second boss was better than the first boss, just in terms of the type of encounter.
Mm-hmm.
There are a number of ways to kick her ass, though. One, you can literally just sit there and, like...
I shock her
over and over again until she dies. Okay. Or you can shock her and then pull out a lethal weapon.
That's what
I do some damage to her.
I was using the EMP grenades and the mines. I didn't plan a mine and back up. I had the combat rifle with the flechette mod, so it could actually lock on.
Yeah.
And so I lock on her, and then that would stun her.
See, that's really, really easy because when she takes damage, she runs away.
Yeah,
and if you chase
I would watch the floor.
Yeah, if you chase her, she'll never
stop running.
She runs away to hide and be still and recharge. Mm-hmm. If you chase her, she'll never get a chance to do that. So she'll just keep running. So if you just keep chasing her and keep shooting her, she'll die.
That's another thought.
That's how I beat her.
I've done it. I've done it multiple ways, but the first time, I died a couple of times the first time I was in there, and then I realized, like, well, she's running right up to me, so, psh, okay, now you're stunned, what can I do? It wasn't too bad.
I would like to maybe try and do a playthrough without using any weapons.
I don't know if you can beat her.
I mean, except for the boss fights. But like,
yeah, you don't need weapons on the first boss fight.
Yeah, nope. Just throw
barrels and canisters.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do.
But I mean, like, minus boss fights where it doesn't matter if you kill them or not, but like, go through without any weapons at all.
How would you deal with the two big security robots at the end of the Hangsha?
I stealthed my way upstairs across the catwalk to the security computer, disabled the two bots.
You can disable them if you have hack security to dominate robot and dominate turret.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Because I did not want to fuck with those, because I didn't have... I mean, they put rocket launchers all over that place, but...
There were EMP grenades.
A single EMP grenade will do them.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I thought these were, like, special big guys that could take more.
I didn't know it would just take it out. I was just in my process of trying shit.
Yeah.
To see what would happen. Like, I was like, all right, I doubt this will take it down permanently, but I know it'll do something.
I didn't expect it to do that either.
And I didn't have... Fucked that
single EMP grenade will fuck any mechanical thing up. Man. Which is actually, see, that I would put on a medium sized list of things that I think are wrong. I don't think a single EMP grenade should fucking destroy a robot. I actually think that's wrong. I think it should maybe disable them for a short period of time, but I think it makes for a worse game if one little grenade chuck. And they just fucking obliterate. Like, I didn't like that. It felt kind of stupid to me. I think the hacking was broken as hell. I think the way that the hacking was integrated into the game was... I mean, I liked the hacking minigame. I thought it was perfectly fine. Some people thought it was ridiculously tedious, but I thought it was okay.
I know.
I mean, but sometimes
it's the only
I wasn't
way to get a reward for doing a thing.
Yeah, and not only that,
I actually like the ones where you can take over the red tower, because some of them you can take over that, and that'll automatically give you the reward.
Oh yeah, it'll give you every archive.
Yeah. Now, so
if you can get to the computer's like whatever the computer's node before it detects you, you'll get everything, which is. It's fine. I liked that little game, and it was sometimes pretty intense if there were level 4 and 5 hacks. There were so few level 4 and 5 hacks anywhere in the fucking game. I was like, God damn it, you know? Like, those are the only ones that are a really significant challenge. And the only time I have to use nukes is on level 5 hacks.
Yeah. Quick nuke, quick nuke.
Yeah, when I finished the game, I had in the 40s, yeah. I think, for nukes, and in the 30s for stock ones.
I've already got 20-something where I'm at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the time you start hitting 4s and 5s, you'll use them more, just to save yourself the heartache. Yeah. But really, you'll just keep getting them because you become good at it. So,
in the auto hackers, there were way more of those in the end game than there was...
Yeah, well, those are a bullshit item anyway. I only used them twice, and it was like, just in a fucking hurry here.
Yeah.
You know? So, but you know, like on my second playthrough, I just throw them away or don't pick them up or sell them or something.
So, yeah.
My problem is this. In the first game, there were things that needed to be hacked. There were things that needed their lock picked. Lock picks were consumable. And so were like the little hacky bastards. So like, unless you were a badass hacker and a badass lockpick, you weren't getting into everything on every level. You weren't. So you had to make choices about who you were, what your level of expertise was in any particular specialty, and that would determine what your experience in this level was. The door into the level and the door out of the level were the same for everybody, basically, just like they are in this game. But the problem with this game is that anything, if it's in the game, it can be hacked. And I don't like that. Because it means if you're willing to just spend the time, you're going to rack up XP, and you're going to see everything the game has to offer. Everything.
If they would have done it different, where computers and the doors, you know, were two different kind of things.
Yeah, like if computers and security systems were hackable things, and the doors required some kind of lockpick.
Yeah.
I think it would have been a much...
Because they'd be like, all
right, it would have been...
Do I want to get in the area, or do I want to disable the stuff and read the, you know?
It's... Yes, it would have locked a lot of things off from you.
But
it would have made your choices matter. The augments were ridiculous. By the end of the game, I was just throwing augments into things that, like...
I didn't even need
this. I don't need this.
Yeah.
I had full batteries, full stealth, full arm strength. I never intended to punch through a wall.
The tracking the people?
You know, I had everything. I think I was like 10 praxis points short of having everything. It was ridiculous.
Which is an achievement.
I didn't like the way the first game did it, where I liked it and I didn't like it. They gave you a choice, but
sometimes there was like, I want that
the
one.
Leg Aug, for example,
yeah.
was halfway through the game.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I think I should have been able to spend it anywhere. But how much more interesting would it have been if, for example, you choose to either run silently and all these other things, or jump high.
And yeah, instead of having the option for all those. Like, from the get-go, you have the entire tree, and you can play the practice where you want, but knowing if I choose this practice for, like, you know, I could either push the stuff, or I could punch through the walls and not have recoil.
Right.
Yeah, I think that would have definitely...
I would much have preferred a tree. It would have made... it would have made you feel like you were actually crafting your experience to a particular set of tastes. Yeah. B, it would have made a second playthrough much more fun.
I could choose my X-ray vision, but if I do that, then I won't have this other one that would really be, you know, I could really use also. So you have to craft your game plan.
Right.
Felix says there were no auto hacks for people overseas. That was a pre-order bonus that only some people got.
Yeah, it was a bullshit item in the pre-orders.
Shit Bacon says, I love those cross promotions they have for in-game items and benefits. Just go to 7-Eleven and buy this thing, you'll get a code. Yeah, not outside the U.S., assholes.
Those things suck.
Not here in the South either, or at least here in our town. You'd have to go to Birmingham, I guess, to get fucking 7-Eleven shit.
I was able to get two codes from GameStop.
Yeah, the pre-order codes. That's how the other books got the Tracer Bomb mission.
Yeah.
Apparently, from what I've... Well, okay, maybe not the missions.
You should have gotten it, though, too, right?
That mod that's out there.
What about
the debug kit?
Yeah, or whatever it is.
I'm playing with it on my second playthrough.
Yeah, it's apparently... It comes with some weapons, some pre-order...
It can give you all of that shit.
Yeah, gives you all that shit.
I tried loading up the zoo, and it crashed the desktop.
No, I haven't tried doing that. I'm doing a straight... I'm actually using that to try to make the game better. I'm trying to fix... You can't. It's not powerful enough. But I'm trying to change it a little bit. And then use my own willpower to actually create a better game. But if the hacking had been redesigned, if a lot of it was still lockpicking, I think it would have been much improved. I don't like the animation lock for takedowns. I think it's fucking absurd that a takedown requires energy. And I think it was fucking ridiculous.
You're in the middle of, you know, taking down, if there's three people, I've had it a couple times, you know, the other guy's just watching, all right, he's beating him up, all right, he's beating up, I'm not going to do anything.
It wasn't good.
Yeah.
The game really screamed for a Splinter Cell nonviolent takedown. Where you, like, grab them and use them as a human shield and, like, back them off into a shadow somewhere and then knock them out after questioning them for information. Like, it was really... I mean, honestly, that was... Jensen really should have been doing that.
Yeah.
So that was whatever. The idea that it's impossible to do a lethal takedown silently...
Yeah.
...is... I understand it was a concession to somebody's idea of game design. The problem is, they so horribly incentivized you towards non-lethal that it makes some of the other approaches stupid. If you run through the game not hacking, but just stealing codes and killing people, you'll wind up with like a third the XP of somebody else did.
Mm-hmm.
If I carefully take a guy down and like... pick the code out of his pocket and then use the code to open the door or access the computer, I should get XP for that. But why bother? I mean, I searched every dude and got every code, but I still hacked the computer because that's where the XP was.
Yeah.
Really thoughtless piece of design, in my opinion.
Just XP from hacking, but if you get the special archive moves, you could either get money or XP from that, too.
So it was always pushing you to this very specific kind of gameplay. I'm in the camp of people who doesn't like the fact that energy doesn't recharge properly.
Mm-hmm.
I know what they're trying to do. I know they're trying to keep you from cheesing through the game with stealth or something like that. But
you know, having to keep on eating the energy bars.
It's just... I think they should have recharged all the way. That's what coefficients are for. You know? The stealth already sucks your energy so fucking fast that it's not practical.
Even all the way, you know, 7 seconds per cell.
Yeah.
That's... not much.
I haven't picked up that augment yet.
No, it's tough.
I've been tempted sometimes, but I still haven't picked it up yet.
And it's useful in a few places.
Yeah, I got it. I got it at the end of Hangsha.
It's not like
someone sees you stealth out, move over here, unstealth. Okay, charge
very fast.
Yeah. Were you able to make it out of that bit when? I don't want to spoil anything.
Well, we're
at the end, everybody's actually.
I'm further ahead than
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it for anybody listening.
Oh, yeah. Did I make it out of what?
Did you make it past all the dudes without being seen?
Where?
At the end of Hangsha.
Oh, shit. The bathroom, the bathhouse, or whatever that fucking was? The pod's place? Yeah.
You're talking about Alice Gardens.
Yeah, Alice Gardens.
No, not Alice Gardens.
Oh, I was going to say, I shot every last one of those guys.
That was the end of Hangsha, wasn't
it? No. I mean, technically the end of Hangsha was Taiyong Medical. Going all the way up to the top of the tower.
Yeah.
Who do you meet at the top of the tower?
That's what I'm talking about. When all that happens.
Yes.
And all the dudes come in.
Yeah.
Were you able to make it out of there without being seen?
Yes.
Wow.
No, it was...
It's okay. Actually not hard.
It was tense as shit.
When you're coming in that giant hall, okay, and there's nobody in the whole place, right? It's just this huge open area.
Right.
And it's like, bitch, I've been playing games for a long time. Nobody makes shit like this that isn't about to be full of guys.
Oh, no, yeah, that and seeing all... I was like, oh, wait, I can take... Look at all these little placed here and here. Yeah. Especially the second tier of her office floor.
Yeah, but not only that, on the left-hand side, there was a vent.
I used the vent.
So...
But
it takes you about two-thirds of the way back toward the entrance.
Uh-huh.
And... There is a moment in the pathing of like the four guys that are down there where you can get out and then dip out to the.
I could not find that moment.
Oh, really?
I tried.
I know.
But every time I opened that vent, there, you know. And then, I'll just back up.
I opened the vent before
wait for
I
them
did too. I saw the vent beforehand, so I opened it up.
You opened it before that?
I opened it up and I'm like, where does this vent take me? And it took me up to the top. And I was like, okay.
Okay.
You know, I didn't have to open it again, but you're exactly right. Because if you stand there with the vent open and you're in there, you can only see the feet of the guards, but they can see you.
Yeah.
So you have to back up a little bit to where that opening is and just kind of watch their path.
That was the part where I bought the stealth. I was like, I'm getting out of here without them seeing
me.
So I got the stealth and
entry level stealth is tough to make it out of there.
Well, I had several praxis points to spend right
now. I see.
So I got stealth and bumped it up to be several seconds and then got a couple more energy things too.
Oh, I see.
And then I turned that shit on, opened it up, and I just made a dash for it.
Yeah.
And turned out I didn't need to buy nearly as much of the stuff as I did. But
yeah. I mean, by that point, worked, I think so. I may have already had that. By that point, I was already spending praxis point on shit I didn't really
care about. More or less what I've sort of been doing. That's why I had so many stashed away just in case I found myself in a situation where I thought I needed something.
I think I've got four. I'm about to have five.
I never ran with that many. When this boss fight's over, I'll have five to spend.
I never ran with three, but
at this point I'm so happy with what I've got I forget to go in and spend it.
Right, you know.
So a couple times I've been in there and I think I've got five or six of these things.
Brock actually tweeted that, said, you know, if you're going through and you're in a situation where you don't need it, save the practice because obviously you don't need it right now.
Right.
Until you're in that situation like that where you're like, how the hell do I get out of here? All right, I'll spend it on this just to get out of the situation.
Like, one of the first decisions that I made on praxis points was the Casey mod, because I was talking to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And then one of the second decisions I made, based on what was going on, was like, I need more hacking skills. I need to lower my detection as much as possible.
Yeah. See, that's... You know. I never got extra fortify. I never did detection. But I went all the way through... access, and I went all the way through stealth before I did
anything.
And then I did Casey. To the point where I'm assuming, did you guys get in the police station in Detroit the stand-up way.
Yeah.
By talking to old boy at the front desk.
Yep.
The police station in Detroit.
How'd you get in the police station, Scott?
Front door?
Oh, no, okay. To go to the morgue?
Yeah.
I talked to dude, and I had the Casey mod, and, you know.
It's actually more fun if you do it the other way. Because you have to sneak through. You either have to sneak in or kill everybody. Because if you don't talk to him, you are KOS to everybody in there.
I don't think I had the Casey mod at that point, but I did get in talking to him.
The Casey mod just trivializes those conversations.
I think my next playthrough I'll actually try it. I'll
get it's different, but I mean, you don't need it. It's a shit ton of extra XP because you'll silver tongue every major conversation, and you'll get a lot more shit. So and you'll get some extra story elements here and there by being able to force people to tell you stuff. I think they should have fucked with the coefficients of energy and then energy using materials. I don't think it's right. I think I should be able to punch through a fucking wall without it. Like, I mean, maybe punching through a wall because that takes a ton of energy.
Punching through a wall should take energy.
Punching a man?
Doing a takedown should not.
That's ridiculous. That's crap. You should be able to do a takedown without doing that.
So, did you ever find the wall punch in the sewers of Detroit? One of the hobos, when I got out of a manhole, he was talking about, like, hey, do you have some explosives? Because I hear the mob, you know, keeps a, some weapons and everything in one of the walls, but you gotta blow it open.
Oh.
So I was, looking around, all right, I wonder where the hell that's at.
They're very easy to miss. They're really, really easy to miss. And a lot of times, even after I bought it, I would occasionally, do a quick save and be like, I want to see where this goes. But it's loud, you know, so I didn't use it a lot. And a lot of times it would wind up back somewhere I'd already been, and I realized I'd missed the first wall crack. So I was like, this is...
Only one time I noticed I was able to punch someone through it. You know, do the whole punch takedown.
Yeah.
And that was upstairs, Detroit, in the very, very, top. That some guys, walking.
I did that.
Yeah, that was the only time
I noticed. Well, you don't really... You just punch through it and then snap the... Well, whatever. Put him to sleep. The guy on the other side of the wall, that's all you do.
But that's the only time I did that with a person.
That's an interesting point, because that was early on in the game, and I was like, well, I've got to get up to this level. And so I couldn't get in the front way, because the guys are, standing there. As soon as you walk, dude's like, this ain't your business. Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
With the DRB?
Yeah. And so I'm like...
I like that area. There were a ton of different ways to come at that area.
Wasn't there? So I go shut off the electricity on the floor in the sewers, or in part of the back way, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I go through there, take out those two guys. It brings me to a back entrance that's got a fire escape that can take me up. And I'm like, well, I got to go up anyway. So I get up there, and there's the breakable wall. And I'm like, I really have to purchase an AUG in order to continue this mission?
Ever.
But I thought that at the first. I realized that I didn't have to once.
The problem is you were trying to avoid the body of guys that were in the alley.
Yeah. So I get the AUG, punch through the wall, whatever. And then I'm at a point where it's like, well, I can't fucking jump down. I don't have enough praxis points to get the Icarus thing. What the hell have they done to me?
That's it. Just that one.
So then you done to yourself.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. So then I go back down, and I'm like, well, obviously there's got to be some other way of doing this. And, I found the other way of doing that. But then I realized that you will never be at a point where you have to purchase something in order to advance.
Yeah.
There's some fun little dialogue bits with NPCs in there based on, how you handle things. I really like how if you sneak into the club in Hingxia, the Hive, if you walk out through the front door, and then if you talk to the bouncer, he's like, don't you try that shit again. Or as if you just exit out back through the back, he's like, oh, you're back? You ready to pay the membership fee?
Right.
But that was fun.
Also, I just got sick of coming in and out of the back.
Yeah.
So I was like, whatever. I'm tired of climbing to the woman's toilet.
Did anybody try killing... I can't remember his name, but the guy you go to have the conversation with that old girl records to get the confession?
Oh, in Detroit?
In Hingxia.
The confession.
Oh.
I didn't kill him before.
Because you're helping out Malik or whatever.
Yeah. It's even on my second playthrough, I did it the same way, just because, because I like Malik.
Well, I saved, before I did it. I just wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
And
Well, first, I hit it wrong, and I just knocked him out, which was an awful lot of fun. Nobody in the club cared that I laid him out, because nice. He's a dirt bag. But then I reloaded, and I, like, pull up my elbow knives, and, you know. And she's like, oh my god, Jensen, what have you done? I didn't tell you to kill him. He's like, would you believe me if I said it was an accident? It's like, man, that's good. That's good. And then you get outside the club, and she yells at you some more about it. And he's like, I'm sorry. I really wish he had said, oh, what a shame. But it's pretty good.
I don't know. I'm interested, like, how you guys have built your guys. I feel like after a certain, like, I feel like by the time I was done with Hengsha, mm-hmm. I had every AUG I would ever need.
Yeah.
I was maxed out on fucking everything. I will tell you that, if you use that, I'm doing my second playthrough with the debug menu. I gave myself a handful of AUGs from the get-go. I decided on, like, a handful of basic AUGs and a handful of weapons. And I just went ahead and gave myself all of those. But I'm not upgrading anything else after that point. Largely because I think the money thing, and I think the weapons thing is actually kind of stupid. I am the chief of security for one of the richest companies in the world. And I have to scrounge through people's pockets after I kill them, or break into their houses and rifle through their drawers in order to find a little extra money, yeah. or hope for a weapon upgrade. Fuck you. I would have as much as I wanted of either one of those things.
Yeah, like
just go down to the armory and be like, look, that's what I need.
Yeah.
Give me the loadout.
I'm the chief of security. I want this weapon all the way tricked out. And I would have, because there's never a point in the game when you are off the reservation. You are always acting on behalf of Seraph.
Yeah.
So you would always have access to money. I know that there's game in there. I know that they're trying to incentivize your exploration, but I'd have gone about it in a slightly different way. So, a second playthrough, just giving myself... The AUG thing was weird, too. It's like, you've already butchered me to create what you wanted me to be. Like, I would be able to have... You would give me whatever AUGs I wanted. I know you would. Save, maybe, the Typhoon, because it was still experimental. But, so I gave myself a handful of things. Not much. But just a handful of things, like, straight away. And
did you do the inventory upgrade?
Oh, as an AUG? Yeah. Inventory upgrade.
I keep forgetting to do that.
See-through walls. Oh, God, that was actually what I did right after.
That was early for me.
There's only been a couple of times it's presented me with a problem.
About 5 minutes into the fucking game, man. I was picking up everything. I was like, I don't know which gun I'll want. All the guns.
Yeah.
I wish the see-through walls, because you know how your radar expands? You get the radar upgrade?
That's actually a horrible upgrade.
Would have done it. Yeah.
Because then the markers on the map become almost impossible to read. Oh, I really regretted the fuck out of that upgrade. Yeah.
Second time through,
I didn't do it. I just gave myself see-through walls, jump high.
Icarus.
I love Icarus.
Inventory. No cloak. I'm ignoring cloak the whole because it's bullshit.
Here's another one to go back to. It uses energy to take down a guy. It uses nothing to do whatever that fucking glow shit is.
Yeah,
you do.
The landing requires no energy, but the stone does.
The fuck?
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird.
I have a glow bubble around me, but yet.
Of course, that's
no energy.
That's how I got out of Alice Gardens, though.
Oh, just
I was
jump
up
down?
On the third floor, and I was like, fuck you bitches, man. So I, like, ran. Like, I sprinted, jumped over the thing, and, like, the guys, like, they didn't see me, but they could hear me running. I hit cloak, and then just jumped over the edge, and, like, while cloaked, I did an Icarus landing and then just ran down. And they were all like, what? What? What?
What's going on?
I was like,
no, I know, I didn't do any. Man, my, so far, my whole thing has been, you know, by the skin of my fucking balls getting out of some of these places.
That one was by the skin of my balls because I ran out of energy right as I dipped down that, like, because you go down the ramp to take a left to go through the locker room. I mean, like, right as I was coming down that ramp, I ran out of energy and decloaked. And a dude was like, what? What was that? And, like the three, the regular dude and the two heavies, like, came down there. I'll tell you what you want. You want to make the game fun? I turned off health regen.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
No health regen. I think health regen breaks the game. I think they should have done energy regen and no health regen.
I haven't had a problem with health regen just yet. I mean,
just find painkillers and
because it regens.
Right. Well, I mean, obviously,
You wouldn't consider that a problem.
Yeah, in a boss fight, that's going to be a problem. But so far, I haven't triggered anything for alarms or anything else.
But
shot at.
Yeah, like A, that's not the only thing that can hurt you. B,
electricity,
yeah. Or obviously you've got the Icarus. If you don't have Icarus, falling even a little bit can do a little bit of damage.
Yeah.
And paying attention to, like, you know, the alcohol and the painkillers and the stem packs and all that other stuff. No health regen, particularly with a Deus Ex level difficulty, violent playthrough is very tricky. Tricky. Because you are, even with full dermal plating and everything, you are very fragile. Like, I can't stand up and let somebody shoot me. If they hit me, I'm down to, like, even if I have, like, 200 health, I'm fully buffed, and I get shot significantly by something, it's almost gone. And it's very cool. It's very, very nice. Because you can't just, I mean, you can pop out and, like, get a headshot and do that a lot, but if they really start closing in on you, it becomes awfully hard.
I said the silencer and the laser mod for the guns.
Yeah. If you're going that route.
I was gonna say again, I've got all those mods on the guns, but and I'm itching to use them. You know, but it's always.
I'll tell you what. I had it tricked out, and I never once fired my weapon in anger until the second time I came back to Hangsha. At that point, I was like, "Fuck you guys! I hate you."
Because I know the
all through that, never fired a bullet.
Yeah,
the silencer could also fit on the machine pistol.
Yes, machine pistol, combat rifle, and 10mm.
So I didn't use the shotgun. I didn't use the machine pistol. I didn't use the heavy weapons except for the laser and the grenade launcher.
You can cheese the last fight with the laser.
Yeah. Although,
because it's a laser.
The grenade launcher was so much easier.
I guess. It's real filthy.
It was. The things, one shot.
You don't laser. I'm saying with the laser, you don't need to do anything to those things. When I say you can cheese the fight, I really mean you can cheese the fight.
Cavalier says, especially when you upgraded it, always ran with the pistol and sniper rifle in my lethal playthrough. The trank rifle was useful until the shooty bang bang ending stuff.
Yeah, I abandoned the trank rifle, I think, after, like, near the end. I was like, it was actually when I came back to Hangsha. I was like, I'm not playing by your rules anymore.
Yeah.
How did you handle that when you came back to Hangsha? Everything turn out okay or not? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, because you were doing a violent playthrough.
Yeah.
I wasn't. I couldn't. I didn't. All I had was my pistol, and it wasn't enough.
No, not at all.
It literally was. I had the trank rifle and the pistol, and it was not enough to.
I think it's
to slow. It wasn't enough.
Maybe not impossible, but damn close to, you know, to beat that without.
Without killing?
Without killing.
It'd be extraordinarily hard.
Yeah. I can't. Honestly, I can't imagine a way of it. Because if you shoot a barrel and that kills someone, that's still.
Oh, yeah.
That's killing.
Yeah.
That was tough.
Yeah, any death is a result of your actions.
Yeah.
You'll know the
part. But, yeah,
it's a part and you're like,
Huh? Oh, shit.
What the fuck is this?
I texted you, right? I'm like, yeah. What the hell?
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I don't know, dude. That's pretty bad.
But I made sure I played through it a couple of times until I was happy with where I'm like, all right, cool, yeah.
Felix says, I thought there weren't enough places to use the sniper. There weren't many big areas.
Absolutely weren't.
I just use it one time in Hengsha. You can guess where.
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah. I didn't even use the sniper rifle for that. The combat rifle.
Oh.
That would, it has enough range to take out.
Well, and the snipers aren't the big problem there.
No, right? Oh, no.
He says you can
gas grenades and EMP.
Yeah. He says you can do it with a pistol. Some guys have higher DPS, need to kill the minigun guys first, and then the robot immediately.
Yes.
So.
Tough. It's tough. It's tough.
Yeah.
If you want the right outcome. If you don't, fuck.
Then, see ya. I'm just going to walk around here and just,
Right. Well, knowing that I wasn't going to get a non-lethal playthrough anyway, that was a good point to just kind of be like,
all right,
this is the point at which, no matter what Jensen's thing was, he would fucking rage out. And
his character definitely would have.
So,
I think.
But yeah, like playing through, giving yourself some base augments at the beginning, and then never accepting another augment, no regen health is... No regen health would have been better. Would have been better if we had had to doctor our own health the whole way through.
Yeah.
But having said that, fucking great game. It needs a balance mod like a son of a bitch. That's what it really needs. Instead, we'll get DLC.
Yeah. I would have enjoyed... There's a couple of places I would have enjoyed Assassin's Creed's little... reach over the ledge, grab you type stuff.
Yeah,
There were quite a few places where they're just like right over there. And, but instead I have to be directly behind them in order to do a takedown. I can't just grab them, pull them over to where I'm at, knock them out or something like that. Kyrie says, favorite level in Deus Ex Human Revolution? Mine was Tai Young Medical. Funny how many parallels there were to DX levels.
Tai Young Medical was fantastic. Yeah. It was long... it lasted a long time. It was very vertical, which was kind of fun.
Yeah.
You could do very well by just being a stand-up guy, and being sneaky and just kind of like damn near psychic papering your way through the whole thing.
Yeah.
You could really do that. And I did, and I thought that it was really, really excellent. I liked it. It was really dense.
I liked Hengsha.
And as a hub, I don't think I could compare the two. Hengsha as a hub was just fun. It was just
I want a ton of fun here.
Man, I could spend a whole fucking game.
The Pengu and that, and just upper, lower, just
I could spend a whole game.
Like you said earlier, that has that Midgar feeling.
Well,
if we had
how many ways does this game have a lot of FF7?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean.
First boss, his name is Barrett, and he's got a gun arm.
Yeah.
Man, you'd think Square. Oh, wait.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's massively FF7 in that regard.
Didn't we say that, though? I mean, I remember, not FF7. I think we were more just like, oh, boy, look what they've done here. Because
there's the Final Fantasy poster.
Well, when they released that first trailer and we all watched it, this was back, I think we were at ASF.
Yeah.
When that was released, and we watched it. Because I remember you said, oh, look at this. Does that not look like... And you started relating to Square and whatever else they're doing. That first,
it's there.
First look at that trailer. Yeah.
I mean, even speaking on thematically, there's more than a little bit of Genova rebirth kind of shit philosophically going on.
And the
whole notion of
Shinra is a giant corporation.
Yeah.
Serif, Shinra.
The very end.
Augments, Mako. I just don't want to.
Yeah.
But it's. Yeah.
The only difference being their dude looked like a dude.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with it or anything, but yeah, it was very fun. That Tai Young Medical was really. It was really pretty good. My least favorite was, though, actually, one time when you come back. I thought that things didn't quite work out right. When you're dealing with old boy, I snuck through his whole dude's thing and everything, and then what happens after you do that? I'm like, why are you just talking to me? I just, like, beat up all your dudes, you know? Like, I thought I had to, like, sneak in and, like, murderize somebody, but instead it's this? Like, I didn't like it. Felt like it didn't work right.
Yeah.
Tai Yong was pretty fucking cool. I enjoyed the whole trip.
The FEMA went bad. I enjoyed, you know, going through
God
FEMA.
Damn, if that place that was not Shadow Moses as a motherfucker. Yeah.
Somebody that just shit. Said that.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Fila says, I think it's not FF7. I think it's the first Deus Ex, optional hostage objective in the first level. Well,
yeah.
Tai Yong Medical equals VersaLife.
Yeah.
You visit the city where your pilot lived, which is China, both times.
Yeah.
Detroit feels like Hell's Kitchen. The harbor level is just like the harbor level in DX.
That's true.
And yeah. Labo says I got a lot of OG MGS out of it as well.
Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. FEMA, the FEMA area in particular was so goddamn.
I need my cardboard, it. You know, to hide yeah. under.
That area box. Was so very much like that.
Yeah.
Zhao equals Maggie Chow.
Yeah.
Not literally, but when you compare the games.
Yeah, I mean, you can't spend any time in it and not see other everything
yeah.
else.
Yeah.
They really did play two DX1, I think.
Yeah, as well they should.
Yeah.
I really regret that they had to cut Montreal.
Yeah.
Somebody earlier in the chat, they had said like a third of the game had been cut, and somebody said, yeah, it's like a full hub that should have been in Montreal.
Montreal, upper Hengsha was built.
Yeah.
Man.
And India was, there was planned for India.
Mm.
So,
and can you imagine if we had all that? God, oh, jeez. Well, an hour game.
The chances are that's why we went back to Detroit and back to Hengsha. So,
if we could have, you know,
had, and I know they had to feel bad about Montreal.
Yeah,
I mean, that's their place, you know. That's where they are, and they really wanted to include some of the unique architecture. But
if we could have not gone back to the two hubs we'd already been to,
yeah,
you know, the story
and instead of had Montreal as somewhere a or something,
somewhere, you know,
yeah, it would have been ideal.
Yeah,
either that or you know have spent some time in Upper Hengsha. So,
yeah.
Neat place. That's, but say whatever else you want to say. Like, that's a mark of an excellent game.
Mm-hmm.
God, how come there isn't more?
Yeah.
You know?
Tai Yong's been my favorite so far.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's
really probably good. Will stay that way. Kyrie says, Matt might be interested to know that a new mod for Falcon 4 just came out called BMS4.
What the fuck, dude? What the fuck? How long is that now? What is it? 14 years?
It's really great. It's the best F4 yet.
13 really? Years.
There you go.
All right.
Kyrie also says, I really want to hear this episode, but need to sleep, so please don't take a month to edit it, even if you don't record again for a month.
I'll see what we can do.
Yeah, that was the last of the tweets. Onto some emails, some... Mm-hmm. Keep them short. Gotcha. Yeah, I know. So, let's see. Daniel Phillips writes in, says, some quick bits about the original Deus Ex might help you out if you want to get a hit of some of the awesome game. Mod stuff, check out this thread to get some of the mods. Anything else I'd leave out personally? Most of the mods that were meant to make the game prettier were never finished. Basically, you're not going to be able to make very many improvements. It's not the prettiest thing in the world. Total conversions, Deus Ex runs on the same tech that powered the original Unreal Tournament.
The Nameless mod was pretty good.
You can make it playable.
Yeah.
Pretty easily. I mean, assuming you have generous definition of playable. It's never going to look particularly good.
It's going to look like a 10-year-old game.
You can get the resolution, the aspect ratio... and the resolution of the UI to work a bit better. And that's really all you need. The rest of the mechanics either work or don't work as well as they did originally for me.
I do like the guys in Human Revolution humming the theme. Mm-hmm. You'll catch people humming the theme and stuff. All right. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that aside, if you do make it into the game, if you just want an idea of the kind of world DX has, I would recommend you play the game up until the point where you meet a character named Juan Lebedev.
Lebedev.
It's fairly early on in the story, and by that time you began learning about many of the conspiracies going on that made that story into what it was. If you aren't really into it by then, you've given it a fair shake, and that's cool, but nobody I know made it to that point and stopped there either.
I'd still recommend going back and playing it, possibly even more so after having played Human Revolution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great game, and the fan service that's been seen in Human Revolutions has been said to be fantastic.
Yeah.
Been avoiding that info personally, but yeah, Deus Ex was to me what Myst and Riven were to you, based on what you've said, which is why I'm writing you this email. It'd be awesome to hear your take on it for all the obvious reasons, but I wouldn't want to have a sour memory of it because you slogged through it out of obligation, since it is what it is. Hope this info is helpful.
It's a very different game.
And, I mean, the fact that it is on so many, you know, top 10 lists of, mm-hmm. you know, top 10 games of all time that people have played for, you know, it is on so many of those lists that really does speak, even 10 years later, to the quality of, you know, the mm-hmm. story and just the, everything that got out of you. Like, wow, this is wholly unlike anything I've ever played, you know, at that time. And to some extent, since.
Yeah. Thundrigo says he was a producer on Rayman 2 for the Game Boy Color for Ubisoft.
Nice.
And Ship Pagan is listening to us from Australia right now.
Cool.
It's 11 a.m.
Okay, I was going to say, that was obviously the question.
This one, I don't recognize this person, might be a first-time writer to our show. Ego P writes in and says, "Hey, in-game chat. Have you heard about the Metal Gear Solid HD collection coming to the PlayStation 3 in November?
Yeah.
It's nice and all. Can't wait to get to play Peace Walker at last. Never liked to play MGS games on the PSP system, so
exactly
I've never
how
tried
I felt
it.
About it.
Yeah. My only concern is that why the fuck can't Portable Ops be there too?
Yeah.
There's no good reason not to include it so that you can play all the storyline MGS games on the PlayStation 2 and 3, and when you're already put Peace Walker on it, which is near to the story in Portable Ops. They could have taken away the third one or something. It already looks so good on the PS2 system. Or maybe there even would have been space left for it. I don't know. Waiting to play it anyway. Have any of you played Peace Walker?
No.
What was your opinion on it? Was the story important to the whole MGS storyline?
I avoided all the stuff on the handheld.
Yeah,
and so did I. So I agree completely that it would have been nice to see it in the remake.
I kind of wish they would have done Twin Dragons in it, too. You know, I know that was for the GameCube.
Oh, okay.
But it was a remake of,
Twin Snakes.
Huh?
Twin Snakes.
Twin Snakes. That's what I say. Twin Dragons.
Twin Dragons.
Yeah, I think
whatever. Twin Snakes. But, I mean, it was updated, you know, better graphics using, you know, I think they used the 2 engine, MGS 2 engine or so. So, I mean, if they would have included that, then you could have 1, 2, 3, you know, you could have had all the story.
That would have been nice.
Yeah, but oh well.
But
what we're getting is better than nothing.
Yeah, I like the idea of taking what were previously unplayable titles for me and making them playable, theoretically.
Yeah. I see, I never finished 3.
I could barely even start. I tried it, and I was like, fuck you.
I hate
this game.
I had the exact same reaction.
And I feel bad, because it's almost universally considered
one
of the best in the series.
Yeah.
If you can be 3?
Snake Eater?
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic ending, like really, really good setup for 4. I was like, and this was even after the fact, after I knew what the supposed payoff was, and I was like, I don't really feel like eating wildlife and fucking with my
camouflage
and like I'm not in it. I'm not into it. I can't do this right now.
That was the tedious part.
I think that's honestly what it was. Is that They were throwing this gimmick at me, and it felt like it was so wide of the mark. You know, I was like, no, I want things that aren't here. What I want this game to be, it doesn't want to be. And we're not going to agree on anything, so whatever.
It did have a really great opening. You know, the opening credits.
It was good. It was fine. Just we didn't get along.
Son of Seth writes in, "The Old Republic versus Guild Wars 2.
Oh my god. Man, I'm already at 2.5 hours. And I actually have quite a lot to say on that score. But by all means.
Was listening to one of the episodes where James says he's decided to jump in Star Wars The Old Republic at launch, and I was wondering how come he chose that one. Did he look at Guild Wars 2 at all, or is the decision based more on the IP? I'm torn between those two for a while now. I want to jump in at launch, but the choice is surprisingly hard. I love the Star Wars universe and want to be part of it, but Guild Wars 2 gameplay looks so juicy and fun. At this moment, I'm leaning more towards Guild Wars for launch because some of its systems look like the more people there are in an area, the better experience it would be. As for Star Wars, with being so focused on the story, the more people there are in an area, less immersive it could be. Star Wars seems like it would be best experienced at a leisurely pace when the initial rush dies down so I can get into my dude story without Bubba Fett dancing on the mailbox. I'm curious...
get used to it.
I'm curious if all this info coming from GamesCon changes anything. Keep up the good work and all that. Bye.
Alright, well, let me...
IP.
Huh?
Is IP for me.
Of course
it Why is. Does it matter? Star Wars Tour is coming out this year. Probably. There's a... Look, EA is... They're running like a bunch of bastards to get this game fucking out there. We don't have a release date yet. Here we are, middle of September. Probably have a release date later this month. They're probably gamifying the whole press thing against Blizzard's BlizzCon in the middle of next month. It's very likely that we'll actually have this game this year. Guild Wars, at best, is going to be here spring. They're not actually competing for the same period of time for me, so that's actually why I'm throwing in for Tor. If they were both coming out on the same day, Tor could go fuck itself. Running. It could fuck itself.
Did you ever play the first Guild Wars?
I monkeyed around with it. I didn't play it when it was contemporary. But Guild... Here, look. I like MMOs a lot. I find something valuable in them. I don't waste my life playing them. I work a full-time job, you know? I have other things I want to do. I maintain a social life. You know, I get drunk and stuff. Whatever. I still find a way to play MMOs, and I really like them. Guild Wars 2 is going to matter in a grand scheme of things because of what they're trying to do. Because of how they've approached their design, how they've approached character development, character story, how they've abandoned the questing system, how they have really, really thrown a lot of their weight behind group questing and really making that fucking work in a way that it didn't in Warhammer, barely does in Rift. They want it to work, and I think they have the right of it. It will be, by almost any measure, the superior MMO, far and away. And if they were coming out on the same day or within the same month, it would have my money, no doubt. However, consider this. It has no fee. It doesn't have it's not a traditional MMO.
Yeah.
So, fuck it, right? Like, play both.
Yeah.
All you're out is for the box cost, just like you would be for a normal game, yeah?
Yeah.
So, what honest difference does it make other than each one competing for your time? But knowing that, Guild Wars is further out. Star Wars Tour is imminent. And having, you know, kind of agreed to that, I'll stipulate that it's likely to be a better game. I'll even stipulate that a lot of what is making people really angry about the Old Republic, aside from the people who are merely angry about...
anything?
EA.
Yeah.
Right? That colors their perception, whatever. I think it's going to be a tremendously fun game if you're willing to have the kind of fun it offers. It's a theme park MMO. It's for sightseeing, you know? It's not for actual hardcore conquest or super aggressive PvP or anything like that. It's a story-based game. Jesus Christ, it's KOTOR 3.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
With more people.
It's massively multiplayer KOTOR 3. If you can't find a way to love it for that... I don't think you're... I think you're maybe doing yourself a disservice. I mean, if you don't like KOTOR at all, and if you're kind of pissed at what BioWare's grown into, that's fair. You know, that's super fair. But I do think they're leveraging every ounce of their storytelling ability and trying to do it in an MMO fashion. I've been sort of mad about the game for a long time. Obligation, really, was what I was down for. The more I pay attention to it and the closer it gets... the more I actually am outright excited for it. I like a lot of the changes they've made. I'll go so far as to say I like all the shit they've stolen from WoW. I like that they've basically taken the underlying mechanic of Warcraft and said, let's scrape away all the bullshit that they put on top of their game that they didn't do properly and layer on our storytelling, layer on our type of expertise. I am 100% willing to see what kind of experience they've crafted. If the rumors are even half true, even a quarter true, right? 8 total classes. Each class has its own unique story.
Mm-hmm.
Each story taking reportedly 200 hours to finish. That's fucking bullshit. But chop that in half. Chop it by 3/4.
Yeah.
You're still looking at several hundred hours of just story.
To go through and see it all. Yeah.
That might be a little bit gracious because I don't know what story in this context actually means. But regardless, all I'm really trying to say in response to the email is I don't see the need to choose right now.
Well, he wrote back.
Oh, did he?
He said, oh crap, I'll have to get both. I blame Total Biscuit and his shameless enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah, Biscuit's okay. Biscuit's okay with both of them. Biscuit loves Guild Wars. He's interested in Old Republic. He's optimistic about Old Republic. But I think based on the stuff he said coming out of Gamescom that I can agree with him. It's like, this is traditional, but I like the way you've tweaked it, and I'm really interested in how you tell your story. Guild Wars is provocative. Guild Wars is sexy because it's like, bitch, what's your name? Like, what are you doing? Like, you don't look like anything I've played before, and I like it. Old Republic looks like comfort food, you know?
Yeah. Can I say, speaking of MMOs and everything, when I heard about the end of Galaxies, I was actually kind of happy with that.
I think they're actually going to do something. Yeah, it's a
good way.
They're
going to tally up, you know, the server, you know, decide see who which, wins. You know, side wins. And they're going to end it accordingly.
Yeah.
I mean, how awesome would that to be on the planet and all you see is a Death Star over you and then a big green light and that's it. The server shut. That's how they should end the game.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I'm hoping the Empire wins in every way. You know, because it's either that or, you know, a couple of fireworks and lifting up a stormtrooper and, you know, body surfing them. Yeah, that's not nearly as exciting as
planets. Anything is more exciting than what usually happens.
Yeah.
You know? Durr, your connection to the server's been lost. You know, whatever.
But I'm so glad that they're actually doing something for the end.
It's good. It's good. I'm allowing myself a lot of childish optimism for the Old Republic. It's just, I like MMOs, and I haven't been playing one for months now. I don't play fucking WoW anymore, you know? And I've tried a couple of times to play one of my interim MMOs, and I'm like, you know, Eve is turning into something ugly. Whatever. None of it does anything for me, so I'm just sort of... I'm fasting at the moment. And I think I will probably really like Old Republic. At least, you know... At the very least, for the 30 days. If it turns out to be a real cock-up, then it's a cock-up. And I don't have anything invested in it, but I can see, to some degree, what they're doing. And again, a lot of people aren't going to like it because it looks like WoW. If you can parse game mechanics, you look at it and you're like, well, this looks like blah, 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 Warcraft with lightsabers. And I'm like, well, yeah, it kind of does. I don't really care. Because Warcraft, like, there are a lot of worse things in the world than Warcraft with lightsabers.
Yeah.
Or force powers or whatever. But, I'd be all for playing with anybody who wants to play. I'm trying to get as many people together that I know either directly or incidentally to play it as I can.
I'll be there.
Yeah, you're going to fuck it up for me. You're totally going to do that.
Whatever.
Yeah, you're going to fuck it up for me. It's a multiplayer game. All right? So, history.
You so paint me in this negative brush.
No, dude,
whatever. It's the fucking brush you
handed
me. It's
the colors you wear.
Come on, dude. You were uploading shit during our broadcast.
I mean, thankfully, you can't fucking, like, team kill in an MMO. But you can, like, you can neglect me to death. So, I'm fully anticipating that. So, most of the other people that I know who want to play it are people who like to play MMOs. So, they're looking at it as more of a mechanical thing. Like, they like how it looks. I like Knights of the Old Republic, and it looks like it's fitting this thing I hate about WoW. You know? There's a lot of people at that intersection.
Yeah.
Which is what they're hoping for. So, I expect, just out of, like, I don't know, my gut feeling is that maybe a month from now, maybe 5 weeks, we'll have a release date. Maybe a November release date. I don't know. I'd be surprised if it slipped past the calendar year. And not just because they seem to be on track, but because this is one of those instances where it's like, yeah, we know you're trying to make the best game you possibly can, but you need to fucking finish this now.
Yeah.
You know, where EA's cracking the whip, so. Yes, I agree. The answer is both.
Yeah. Next email comes from Daniel Phelps. Okay, so I've clocked in a grand total of 182 hours thus far for Deus Ex. According to Steam, that right there sums up a lot of what I have to say. On my third playthrough, I feel obligated to share some thoughts. They did a bang-up job, they were under a lot of pressure, and God knows the internet did little to encourage them for a while there. I'm guilty as well. But in the end, they've managed to completely top my expectations for the game. I don't want to say it's a better game than the original yet. It certainly has lots of improvements. In particular, the Augs and how they are acquired, as well as lots of places to use them. In the first, they felt more as an aside to me, and some of the Augs were kind of useless, except in one or two contextual places. I completed a pacifist playthrough. Complete stealth and avoidance, and the rewards this style of play offers were very well handled, and outsacked the rewards of playing it as a shooter, but the same were true of the first. The numerous options you have for completing whatever task at hand are well-placed, and there's no shortage of them. James Explorer sense should be right cozy in this game, methinks. Not to mention
your ass.
Yeah, not to mention the takedown system is very nice. The game felt short when I first completed it, but it's very clear that much of what the game offers is to be acquired via multiple playthroughs, as was the first. It's a rare quality in games these days, and I am thrilled to have it. My worst complaint was the long-ass load times. Being a perfectionist, by the way, I would have loved a goddamn quick load button. There is one.
Yeah.
That's what I found.
Yeah, F5, F8.
Yeah, but they fixed that pretty quickly. And
they did fix the load times pretty... You missed out on that.
Yeah, I was out of town. But
For the first 3 days... Even a quick load or a load of an autosave was like 30 seconds. Mm. And I mean like 30 seconds, but I mean whatever. Like they were long, and if you were loading a lot, it was wasn't enough to tarnish the game, but it was
enough to notice.
They had to patch up quick on that thing.
Yeah, they did actually. Really. And they cut it down to like 5 seconds.
Yeah. And thank fuck for that previous autosave thingy. That has saved me a lot of ass pains.
Yes.
I get really pissed that the lethal takedowns get everybody's attention within a mile, but it does sort of make sense. It's just that the takedowns are so much fun. I don't like the boss fights much, but I've also found cheap-ass ways of dealing with all of them. That Nymir dude, I love to hack turret way the fuck across the map and down that elevator out of frustration. Lo and behold, turret owned his ass. I can't say I've found any fundamental flaws yet, though. My eyes are still dazzled, honestly. Maybe the voice acting is spotty in a few places, but considering what you're giving me, I'll take it. The story pales in comparison to the first, or even perhaps the second, which I don't consider shit bad, it's just the redheaded stepchild of Deus Ex game. And it didn't really pull me in as much, which kind of bummed me when I wasn't playing the game and was just thinking about stuff, but as I'm playing, I feel a familiar old Deus Ex ecstasy, and I'm digging it heavy. I do think the story is well handled. There were a few places I felt could have used some extra detail somewhere, though, particularly towards the end. Again, explorer types are rewarded with emails and such with pieces of background info, another small detail from the original that made it in. The ending? Well, you have to frame the ending as the ending of an FPS, not an RPG, and then it's perfectly okay, and it's one of the bigger callbacks to the original. I didn't care for the final map level, whatever the game, it seems sort of weak finish, but again, I'm having a blasty blast overall. That's long enough for now. Can't wait to hear your thoughts, especially those doing it on the console. I'm considering buying it on the PS3 as well, if only as a way of saying how much I liked the game.
I'm curious how it handles on the console.
I wouldn't think to
play it on it. Yeah. But, I mean, I wouldn't think
to play it. I fucking forget that it's on the console.
Yeah.
It's so...
I was talking to one of my friends. She's like, oh, is it only on the PlayStation 3? I'm like, no.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, God, no. I play on the computer.
It's worth noting that a lot of the loading issues and clearly the design of the hubs is for
consoles.
Yeah.
But the other things we're usually really upset about aren't even there. I forget that this is a console game as well from time to time.
Cali Sin says, considering Dead Island's buggy release, the Deus Ex stuff seems okay.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It wasn't the debug copy released.
And there are a lot of people who are still having trouble with one thing or another in Deus Ex, but I mean, I can't remember the last time a PC thing happened where that wasn't the case.
We can watch people play Deus Ex on a console when we're on
online. Yeah, it's really fucking brilliant. I kept making him choose something. I'd be like, never mind.
Because it'd be something I'm not there. He's like, whoa, don't pick that one. Don't pick that screen. Go to
we click it, and I'd be like, oh, look away. And then we find another one. I'd be like, no, this one looks good. No, it isn't. Look away.
Because they'd be like hacking a terminal or something like
and
that.
And that looks all the same.
Yeah.
It does, although you can tell when they're playing it on a console because they can't move very fast.
And it's funny because, like, I had forgotten there were a handful of hacks in the game that are actually
very massive.
Unique. And a hack would come up and be like, I know exactly which computer he's at. And I'd watch him try to hack it and watch this dude fail like four times. And I'm like, dude, this is like a level one hack.
Yeah.
But it's like, I noticed he was like moving like really slow. And man. I'm like, this is harder. Oh, that sucks. Also, like, not for nothing, but there were a lot of times, man, a lot of fucking times where, let's say I know a code for this door, right? Mm-hmm. And like there's a guard patrolling or a cop patrolling, and there's like a tiny little window when he's not looking at me, because they will get pissed at you if they catch you hacking. Or doing anything weird.
Yeah.
Or accessing something you're not supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I found that out during one of those where I stood up to hack something and one of the guys was like, hey, what are you doing? And then alarmed. And I thought,
do you know you can look around while you're hacking?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that till the very end of the game.
No.
Wow.
Yep. Press middle mouse button and then drag it around and you can look around.
Shit. Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah.
No, I'm
like
that.
Looking over. All right. All right, go.
But like, there were a lot of times where it's like, you know, the guy like turned his back and be like, okay, jump in, hack, 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 get it, read, back out. And I'd be like, nothing.
I'm not doing anything.
I ain't doing shit, man.
It was tough.
And like on the console,
no fucking way, man.
Or like even if you have the password, you know?
Yeah.
It's like the password is like, ba-da-da-ba-da-da-ba, and I'm like, there we go.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Very good. And on the console, it'd be like, drag a little pointer around.
B.
Yeah.
Crap.
It's clearly a PC game.
Yeah. We've got more emails. We got one from Nabokov, and we got another one from Espetado. We're going to get to those next week. I've got your email saved here, and we will get to those.
We'll actually probably pick up Deus Ex again, because Jeremy and Scott will be in the buddy as well.
But due to time constraints, going to move on from there. But I've still got your emails. We'll get to them. Promise.
Any messages on the consoles?
Yes. I've got Xbox Live pulled up here. They're all from Kevin. Kevin wrote us on August 17th and said, hey, everybody got PCs yet? You don't want to not have one this fall.
That's a true fact, actually.
Then he wrote us again and said, okay, so what if I sound like a broken CD and I have a one-track mind? See what I did there? But oh my gosh, fucking BF3 trailers are making me wonder how much vacation time I could stack till October. What will it not do right? It slices, dices, and entices. On the 29th, Deus Ex, what the fuck? You got your Metal Gear in my well, shit, you got your Metal Gear in my Deus Ex. And I mean JC Denton Deus Ex, not InvisoWar. And then on August 31st, who's going to get the Battlefield 3 Modern Warfare 3 comparison convo going? How about the bloke reading this message? Go.
We're going to have to wait.
Yeah. and when those release. We got a message for you, RJ. You were at your tournament the last time, and so we couldn't get this one. We were going to wait till you got back. Deroku, I guess, says, first, a thank you to RJ for talking about Catherine and writing a review on the IGC forums. By the way, good job. That was really, really good. I didn't really know what you're talking about because I didn't play the game, but I was like, man, people play the game, we're going to love this.
Yeah.
While Catherine wasn't great, I found it one of the most thought-provoking and unique experiences I have had playing a game, as it reminded me enough of previous relationships that it dredged up some long-dormant memories, not all of which were pleasant. For all of its faults, its ability to do that makes me hope that the Persona team at some point revisits the Golden Theater again.
Most things I heard about a lot of folks complain who really didn't like Catherine, you know, talking to folks around town was that it was just too hard because the puzzles were so
you probably get difficult. That a lot when you talk to people.
Yeah, it was too hard.
You like difficult games, man.
Yeah, I mean, they say, a lot of folks say if this game's too hard, then it's not good. I've never understood that analogy.
Well,
there's been some games where I've gotten to where it's like, man, I just can't get over the difficulty of what I'm playing here, and it kind of kills. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time, I don't play games for the challenge. I play games for mm-hmm. the experience of what they offer. Mm-hmm. Now, there's some games like Deus Ex, there have been moments where I'm like, this is just too much. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, I press on and I get through it and end up really enjoying that. I don't necessarily look forward to doing that again.
Okay.
But... you know, on my next playthrough, I plan on going through guns blazing, so it'll be a little bit different. And probably using the mod as well.
Yeah.
So, Deroku, I guess I'm probably fucking that all up.
Why don't you shine a light on that some more, Scott?
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah. Just a quick question about how you feel about friend requests from listeners. I ask because I have a feeling that RJ may be playing some Dark Souls in the future. Right, RJ?
Yes.
And the more people playing on my friends list, the better chance of maybe arranging some co-op.
Oh, I don't mind, that at all, because, yeah, a game like Dark Souls, the more the merrier.
Do we have your information up on the forums?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody.
Yeah, I figured we did. I wasn't sure, but yeah. So there you go. That's all our communication.
Yeah, that's why our information's up there.
Yeah.
Friend anyone anytime. Away.
Although this isn't, I don't know. This is one of those periods of time when I go like giant long stretches without even turning my fucking console on.
Yeah, same thing here. I actually, my Switch behind my TV died.
Yeah.
A couple days ago, so I was like, "Fuck it." The only thing that needs to be plugged up to this is the computer anyway.
Yeah.
So none of my. Well, my 360 right now has no way to connect to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
The PS3 and Wii both have wireless, but God knows when they'll be turned on. Actually, Uncharted 3 will be when the PS3 gets turned on. The other two don't have a whole lot of hope for the future. So,
I still have to decide where I'm going to play Batman.
Well, you've got Forza, so you'll be turning it on.
Forza, yes, I don't have any options there. Those will probably be on the... Batman and Assassin's Creed will probably be on the consoles.
I think I'm going to do Batman on the PS3.
I did the first one on the PS3.
Yeah, same here. So I'm used to the control on the
PC over here. Although I might opt to use a controller, we'll see.
I just
have to see how it controls.
Avoiding the purchase on the PC because it's... the first one was finicky with games for Windows Live.
Mm.
And the way it handled people's saves and stuff, and that's not particularly awesome. Mm. Plus, I'll just I'll be all cry face about physics.
I've got physics.
Yeah.
Yeah, that too.
Although I really got to get a new core.
You really do.
Deus Ex is really showing me that. Anytime I load into an area or load up a previous save, I basically have to do a 360 and walk around and have it just load everything,
to get everything
in.
Loaded.
As I turn, like, it just fucking chews and chews and chews.
Yeah.
To get everything loaded into memory. And then, like, from that point on, it's okay. But, like, yeah, it's bad. And I don't know if it's the CPU or the hard drive or what, but all that shit needs to get replaced.
Mm-hmm.
All of it, every bit, every square inch.
Only had a few times where it would slow down a little bit.
when I was in Montreal, I hacked one of the turrets. I just picked it up. I was just carrying it with me everywhere. I'm just like walking in front of me because, you know, it's kind of translucent. It's just like firing away at people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a couple of times there, and just like just between the hole in the turret, the translucency, the shooting everyone else, that it kind of slowed down a little bit, but it went terrible.
My shit don't ever slow down on my shit.
No.
Yeah, I haven't had any slowdowns on it. I haven't had any crashes on it, haven't had any slowdowns.
The only crash I had was on that debug map.
Hmm. Yeah. The more I think about it, the problem I have with the loading is probably the hard drive.
Yeah.
Some old ass IDE drive.
Oh, wow.
Most likely been there, so.
Alright, well, why don't we cut it off and we'll come back to that conversation next show?
That is fine, we can do that.
Alright.
Thanks for listening.
Funny shit to look at too. So.
Yes, we do.
All right. Bye, guys.